Blog Talk Radio.
What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song. I will try not to sing out of key. Yeah. Oh, baby, how do you all I need is my love. I say I'm gonna get high.
I'm the beast and the best in the world. Paul, say something stupid.
Savage, and that's the only place to listen to wrestling, I do believe. Yes, dig it. Yeah.
Of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. I am the host, the Dean of Credibility, Double D, and you can find me at Folsom County on the Twitter. With me, as always, is the man who apparently snorts a lot. I've already gotten two. Make that three. It's Dan, the above-average comedian, Dan, the man, Calachico. I don't really care how you're doing tonight, so.
Fine. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
Where can they follow you since I don't give a damn?
They can socially mediate me at Omega Squad on Twitter.
It's going to be one of them nights.
You started it.
Probably.
I can feel it in my bones. Dan, where can they find you?
Oh, Danlo 83. I love you, Dean.
Never mind. Omega.
You return that love right now.
No.
Bastard.
Give it back.
Bastard.
Not bringing it back. Not bringing it back.
I don't want it.
I'm thinking Hollywood Squares next week.
Oh, I don't remember how that one goes.
Or the $100,000 pyramid. I don't know.
Is that a sitcom?
You know, I was thinking sitcoms.
But just...
I don't know.
Who's the boss?
There you go. Okay, enough of that. Omega! Chris Green is here with us, and we have to talk about some stuff going on, right?
Presumably. That's what we do here.
That's what we talk about stuff. He is our MMA and wrestling analyst. Omega, where can people find you, even though the cat's already out of the bag?
It's out already, yes. But they can find me on Twitter, at Omega Squad.
All right, what do we got tonight? I'll tell you what we got. We have a French interruption.
I didn't ask.
That cackle, I just can't deal with that.
No?
No.
Well, how I laugh. It's not, you know, it's how I really laugh. So you either get over it or put me on. I don't know what to tell you. Sorry?
Just can't do it.
I got other stuff to do if you want me to go. I mean, I'll just say it, man.
Can't do it.
We heard you. I heard you. Can't do it. I'm waiting for the next step.
Well, I'm trying to get back. I just didn't know what was so funny. Maybe you tell me what was so funny about me attempting to introduce the show. Good.
I don't even remember what was funny. Chris, what did I say?
I don't know what I mean. I don't remember what you said. I thought you just laughed because he just introduced it because you couldn't figure out.
Oh, because he said, "Well, I'll tell you what's on the show tonight," and I said I didn't ask, and I thought that was funny.
Oh yes, that's what you said.
Yes. Ah, back to square one. So, visual.
Well, we're doing good tonight, guys.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's not my fault. It's just he didn't get dinner tonight, and he's like a cranky baby.
Good. Introduce the show now.
Oh, no. Well, thank you. Tonight we have Mishra Ulala, ECWA star, and we have Matt Tremont to talk about his upcoming New Moon Rising appearance and, of course, the On Point Wrestling show coming up on September 28th at the Proving Grounds.
That was pretty darn good.
Thank you. I have a good teacher.
Who would that be? Harry? Is it Harry?
No, screw Harry.
Is Harry's teacher?
No, Harry's not my teacher. Harry's pissing me off, okay? We're having problems.
Well, fair enough. All right.
Hey, everybody, Harry's coming to the New Moon. Who's Harry?
I don't think one of those fans...
No!
You know what, Dan? Dan,
let's do it, Dean.
Dan, I wasn't ready for it, so... But you know what time it is.
Yes.
Well, it appears I've been fired. Well, as long as I'm no longer working here, let me tell you something. You know what really grinds my gears? You, America. You.
No offense to the great Harry Barnett.
No, Harry.
I like the guy.
You're okay.
I do like the guy, but I can almost with 100% certainty say that nobody in that crowd gives a damn that he will be there. Go ahead
no.
and continue my thought. Continue my thought, Dan.
No, I'm just saying that earlier today the Newman was like, "Blimey, we're having Harry Barnett here at our show for the first time, our international family member. Who's Harry Barnett?" Who? Right, exactly my point.
That's my point, too.
No offense, Harry.
No offense to Harry at all.
No offense. In fact, we're probably doing a show where I'm going to scream at him for another hour and a half on Saturday.
Saturday, you say? Why
Saturday.
Is Saturday this time?
Or is it Friday? Well, because Sunday I don't feel like doing it.
I got you, but normally it's a Sunday, and I'm out of the box on a Sunday. But if it's a Saturday, Dan, perhaps I can bring my grievances to the man himself.
You know what? I would like to have somebody on that show on my side because usually he calls Justin America, and all they do is
Dan.
Talk about how great each other are for an hour and a half.
Dan,
yeah.
Did you forget the first 10 minutes of this show?
Yes, I did.
We almost ended the show, Dan.
We did?
Because of our angst.
Were you angry? I was not being serious.
Oh, well. Okay. But anyway.
Were you angry at me?
No.
Oh, okay.
Was I mad at Dan?
No. You might have been perturbed.
He says,
slighted.
Wait. He says, honey, and Omega
irritated.
Goes, no, you weren't hot now.
Shut up, Dan.
Maybe I'll just bring my grievances to Harry on Saturday. Just let me know, Dan. Is it already scheduled? Is it on the Blog Talk Network?
No, you know what? In fact, give me 2 minutes and I will link you directly so you can have your way with it.
I will.
You yell at that limey.
Well, what's on tap for you guys?
I think he's going to call Roughneck and we're going to talk about things that nobody else wants to talk about for about an hour.
Hmm.
I mean, that's how the show goes.
You know what? I listened to the last show, the one that was the most recent show that you guys did. It wasn't bad. A few factual problems.
A few, yes. I listened back, and I was like, son of a bitch. I screwed up. It wasn't October. It was not September.
It was October 27th when...
Just be visited in September.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Sorry.
No, but it's okay. It's okay. But do you have anything else that grinds your gears, Dan?
Yes. I'm going to do this especially for the Olsons because...
For the Olsons?
Yes. And here's the reason why. Young... What do you call her, Dean?
Alexis?
No.
Or Little Bill?
Little Bill.
Okay.
Bill Jr. Little, I'm assuming this came out of a discussion in school about wrestling's fake, you know that? Wrestling's fake. You know, wrestling's not real. Because Alexis had posted something on Facebook about, hey guys, I know wrestling's not real. You can stop telling me it's fake. We get it. It used to drive me crazy when I was in my teens that you'd be talking wrestling with your friends who'd watch it, and then somebody would come over, you know it's not real. Those guys are fake. They have no talent at all. And I thought about it again watching Keikoa kick Matt Saigon in the face. Let me tell you how fake getting kicked in the face is, jerk. Let me tell you how fake breaking your leg, snapping your neck, pulling a shoulder out of his socket.
Well, why don't we just ask Trima when he comes on how fake it is?
Yeah, let me ask you his.
Yeah.
Let me ask the scars in his head to talk to me and see how fake that is.
I'm going to play that for him. If there's a way that I can somehow do that.
That'd make him laugh.
Well, at this point, yeah. If he didn't know you, you might be in trouble.
Actually, the last week we've talked a lot about certain things. Apparently more than I should have, and I'm sorry. Whoever's listening, my bad. But, you know, we get it. That's why we watch it. We know it's not real. It's a show, just like any other TV show. Not real. TV's not real. I don't want to hear reality TV. Bull crap. It's not real. That's why we enjoy watching it. There's a show being put on in the ring. And tell me it's fake when 20,000 other people are paying their money to watch it. Go make fun of them at once, jerk. I keep cutting short of a bad word. That's why I'm saying jerk. Sorry.
Well, you know what, Dan? Speaking of shows that aren't real, if you recall the first year... First year of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio, we had nearly every week Robert Knight on here. So before we go to our first guest, this is what Rob had to say about Hell in a Cell Talk Radio on Hoff Talk, and you can find that at blogtalkradio.com/Hoff Talk. So here's what he had to say. This was earlier today. And that's the wrong file. So,
what he said was just...
No, he just gave us an endorsement.
I thought it was an eloquent.
It was. But that was the wrong file, so...
So you don't have it.
No, not right now. But I can definitely get it.
Now I'm disappointed.
Now the disappointment...
I just don't know what I'm going to do now.
No, I want to hear it. I don't want to continue until we get the damn file uploaded. Let's go.
But that's not going to happen, Dan, because we have our first guest, and that's, of course... Monsieur Ooh-La-La. Now, Ooh-La-La, he's still battling. He just had a match this past weekend at ECWA. We're going to find out what happened there. Apparently, there was a mime involved.
Oh, no.
I'm
a
not
French
sure.
mime?
It very well could have been. It very well could have been. But before
I
that...
Tell.
Okay. I can't do it today.
Just asking.
You know what? Good night, everybody.
No, it's time for a French interruption, as only Ooh-La-La can bring us.
This is going to be a big interruption, and it's going to be French.
Oh, the French interruption, now we're talking, huh? Ooh-La-La!
In a business that likes to throw around the word legend far too often, this is a true legend. It is the mighty Frenchman, Monsieur Ooh-La-La.
Ooh la la! After 46 years of the ECWA, and I've been around for almost half of them, what a show we had.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about the show? Obviously, I haven't seen too many of the shows of late. How was it? Just give me your overall
impression. It was unbelievable. I mean, Jessie Kay, the first ECWA Women's Champion, a stellar performance. And let me tell you, Missy Sampson, she'll be back to get what she believes is hers. And then Mike Mondo and Kokoa, holy smokes. Let me tell you, I thought Arden Chambers or Aiden, he put him to the war. Well, so did Mondo. It was unbelievable. And then there's the D-line and Atu, who looks like he came out of the set from Starsky and Hutch right now. I don't know what happened to him. But you know, it was a great show from top to bottom. And I beat the mind, Jean LeBron, or I don't know. He looked like he was ready to sing Hungry for the Wolf or something. But I'll tell you, I took him and I beat him to death with a virtual chair, let me tell you.
Well, let's go back to the history. Of course, if we go back almost a year and a half ago at this point, you guys were involved in the Super 8 Battle Royal, Over the Top Rope Battle Royal, and he tried to resuscitate you during that match. So he's only been your friend.
Well, let me tell you, and it was necessary because if you remember, I almost went to the Sudan and never came back, okay? Because the Nigerian nightmares, they were about to kill me. And then I believe one of the flatliners, he took good care of me by tossing me like a rag dog across the ring out of harm's way. And if I am correct, I believe I saw him on WWE, one of the flatliners. But let me say, you're right. Jean, he brought out he went to give me, I'm not even sure, the video looked like mouth to mouth, but apparently I had onions that day and things weren't like he expected. He brought out the defibrillator and things went well. But the man that I saw, he was not my friend Saturday night, not at all.
Not at all. So what happened? Let's talk about your match. Who was involved? I know you were on one side, Jean LeBron on the other. What happened in this match? Who were your teammates, first
well,
of all?
Well, we were, yes, I had Kid USA, and he had a gentleman called the Godfather, and he had these four wretched-looking, I thought that they came from this dog shelter. I wasn't sure, but I saw
pictures.
I know. I mean, you talk about faces for a milk carton. These were it, okay? So, I mean, the Godfather came out to literally the Godfather music, which was God. His train was derailed from the beginning, okay? Because I'm talking, when I say the Godfather music, I'm not talking about Zeho Train. I'm talking about the Godfather, huh? I mean, the guy from, who was that, Warren Beatty from like 1970?
No, Marlon Brando. What?
Marlon Brando.
Yeah, him too. He was there. Yeah, he made an appearance. You're right. Uh-huh. I got this covered. You shut your mouth, you swine. So listen. So, yeah, we're all sorry, let me tell you. But let me tell you. We finally got the match started, and then what does he do? He puts a wall up or a door. Well, if there's someone that knows how to open the door, it is I, Major Ooh La La. I opened the door, and right across that ugly muff of his, I just gave him a good old slap to the face. And what's he tried to do? He tried to attack me, and I shut the door right on him. Down he went, like a ton of bricks. And then he wants to call time out, and he takes the chair. There's no timeout. We informed him there are no timeouts in wrestling. However, he couldn't respond back. I don't know why. But he sat on his chair. I took his chair, and Finnegan, I know he was trying to warn me, I beat him with his own chair. And then, of course, Finnegan, being the spoiler that he is, took the chair and gave me a stern warning.
Oh, terrible. So did you come out on the winning side? How did the Gus father play into this? Of course, that's Gus Grand. He was dressed up as the Godfather.
Gus was not so grand, I assure you. However, he tried. You know, I did take his that leg drop, and he had me down from his account. But I got out, and then the mime came in, and he just spun himself silly. I've never seen anything like this. It was kind of actually, I almost took a seat at ringside to watch him. It was that entertaining. But I finally tagged in the USA, and they started cheating, throwing him in the corner, giving him that hoe train thing. And next thing you know, thank God I'm crafty. You know, I am French. But I had to tag myself in while Kid USA was in my corner. I snuck in behind Gus. He took a crossbody block, and then I rolled him up for the 1-2-3.
Oh, so you guys were victorious. Now, are you still in this war against that vile, disgusting Michael Tartaglia?
Well, he's been preoccupied trying to be a thorn in Jesse K's side and the rest of the roster. But I assure you, if a couple months will go by, and then he'll be turning the attention back on me, because he goes where he thinks the people are the weakest, and I've thwarted some of the attacks, so he's going after Jesse, but Jesse proves to be superior that night, and had, again, he ended up on the short end of his stick.
Well, okay. So what's your plans going forward with ECWA? Of course, this was their 46th year. You have something coming up very soon as well.
Yes, we're going to be in Carney's Point. They called it Luck of the Draw. And apparently the fans are going to pick the names out of the hat, and the matches are going to take place then. I don't know who is going to be my opponent that night. And apparently whoever doesn't get picked ends up as a tag team against another tag team.
So I don't know. It's possible you could get a world title shot, Mr. Willala?
No. Those two matches have been predetermined already because of the status of the titles. Kako was taken on Papa John, if it comes Halloween, that's what I'm going to be, Papa John.
I would pay any amount of money to see that.
The tag team titles, they're up for grabs too. But I got to tell you, Kid USA and I, we were gelling. I mean, we were on the same page, even in the same book too.
And what's this deal with Cole Calloway and a date?
It's not me.
No, okay, that's right. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to clear that up. But Cole Calloway. I don't know. I think maybe he needs a calendar. He can't figure out the date. I'm not sure what his problem is. I thought there was an app for that, but I'll talk to him next week, and we'll probably work it out, I'm sure.
Hey, Mr. I got one serious question, and I'm not making fun of you. Do you still have trouble getting into the ring on the steps, or do you have that figured out now, sir?
Well, it's funny you should say something, because there had been such a break. I was so excited to get back into the ring. Yes, I fell down the damn steps. Okay, you shut your mouth, you swine. I tried, but the excitement of it was just overwhelming. And I think I hit every step on the way down, I tell you.
You know what? I blame the architect of the steps. They should build better steps there.
You think? I mean, I asked for an escalator, but they can't seem to make that happen. But
well, those steps have been around for 46 years.
Yeah, they've got nails and all kinds of crap sticking out of them. I think ECWA should be the first company that has a little belt going up into the ring. Just set right
well,
in. Well,
I suggested that. I mean, can't they make treadmills, don't they, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking, too. Well, good. We're on the same page with that, too, huh?
I don't know what a treadmill is,
but but what was this I was listening to before you introduced me about wrestling being fake? I got a man down called an eye. I mean, I lost my spare. What's up with that, huh?
See, that's another good person to ask. Ooh La La has lost a damn eye to this business, and people call it fake. How do you feel about
that? That's what I'm saying. You know, the dude lost his eye.
I mean,
no, wrestling's
fake. I appreciate the gift of marbles I get on my birthday, just, you know, they mean well, you know. But they just don't understand. It has to be the right size marble, okay? But I appreciate it, you know. And believe me, I'm the guy looking at the Halloween stuff thinking, huh, how would that Eye of Terror look on me right now, you know? But I don't, you know. But yeah, it's fake, all right.
Yeah, you know, when I was, you know, you always as a kid, somebody come up to you and go, you know, wrestling's fake. But like I said, you know, let me poke your eye out of your skull and tell me how fake it is, Jerko.
Yeah, let me go under and just have them, you know, they put you at a 45-degree angle in the, when they do surgery, apparently.
Oh.
I don't know. And I did tell you this, though. Yeah, sometimes you wake up and say, guys, there's too much chatter in the room, you know, because you put, you know, knock it off. That's only happened twice, so that's not so bad.
Wait, how many operations did you have for your eye?
I've had 7 of them.
Oh, wow.
Jeez.
Wow. I didn't realize it was that intense.
They put an oil bubble, so every now and again I get, you know, 3,000 hours, I get an oil change. You know, it's okay.
Well, very well. Very well. Let's talk a little bit about the history of Ooh La La right now. Now, if we go back in time, of course, we've already talked about Boogie Woogie Brown. We've talked about a lot of the things. What do you think is the biggest change in independent wrestling from when you first, well, not when you first started, but when you first started making a name for yourself and today?
Well, when I first started, remember, I was a small man at 185 pounds. And, you know, everybody else was just enormous, or ginormous, if you would. I mean, Earthquake, Typhoon, the Legion, the Road Warriors, Hogan, I mean, Big John Studd, these all were enormous men. The little guys, they would bring in guys every now and again to do some mid-card stuff on the Spectrum or the Madison Square Garden or out in L.A., and they were just kind of like, they were just kind of like part of the show, but they weren't the show. And I feel like still that my timing was off, because if this is the size of the guys now, you look at, you know, you still got some big guys out there like Atu, you have D-Line, and
G-Line,
you got
Apollo,
let me tell you, if I need my ceiling fan clean, I'm calling him. Because,
yeah, Sam's a pretty big guy. Yeah.
Yes, he is. But if you look, like even Apollo Creed or whatever his name is, a guy that looks
Apollo,
like Kiss in a ring.
Yeah, Kiss.
Yeah, he you know, these are big men. But, you know, but you look at the guys that you got Papa Don, you have Saigon, you have Robert Shields, or Bobby Shields as you know him now. I mean, these
former
guys are
partners, yeah.
That is correct. I just watched a video of a young Joey against a Mr. Reynolds from, I'm not sure where it was, but he asked me to look at his tape, and I watched it, and I probably spent 45 minutes watching it, giving him feedback of good, the bad. I mean, that's part of what I can do for the business now. I mean, you look at Mike Mondo, he's not one of the original skyscrapers, but the man is unbelievable in the ring. Kokoa, same thing. The man is unbelievable. That's the future of the business now.
Is there anybody in any other company that has not been available to ECWA that you think you'd like to have in the company and make an impact?
Well, I know Bobby Shields would love me to wrestle Tracy Smothers.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that'd be unbelievable.
It would.
That's what I keep hearing. I would truly be blessed. I would love personal on my bucket list to meet Colonel De Beers.
Oh, wow.
That's just one of the guys on my bucket list. Dear God, is he around?
I don't know. Last I heard. No, that was...
He didn't make it to the middle of the newspaper, did he?
No, that was Buck Zumkoff that made it to the newspaper. He ran into some trouble.
No. Yeah.
All right. But, I mean,
reference here tonight.
That's correct. But I mean, but if you look at the roster of the WWE, you have Daniel Bryan. He has come through and wrestled a couple times as American Dragon for the ECWA. I mean, we are clearly a cornerstone in the entertainment world, and rightfully so. I mean, there's been lots of good talents. The Haas brothers, Nothing beat watching the Haas brothers put Low Key in the Haas of Pain and Low Key still be able to fight it out. I mean, that was one of my best memories from the 90s and early 2000s was the ECWA.
I mean, say what you get past all the BS, the ECWA has a long laundry list of people who have made a huge impact in this business, whether it be on TV or not, that have come through that company, period. And you can't take that away.
I absolutely agree. And even look at the top 500. And, by the way, any gentleman who has made it into the 500 for the first time, congratulations. That is a feeling that is worth its weight in gold. In fact, I almost thought I struck gold when I made it the first time.
Yeah.
Were you rated this year, just out of curiosity?
No, I did not make the ratings. But remember, if I did not make it, I gave an opportunity for someone who may have never been rated to be rated, and that is rewarding enough.
Oh, heard, stop being humble!
I heard he
Come
was.
On, you
shut your mouth! I'll give you humble.
You deserve to be in there.
I heard he was number 501.
That's what I heard too.
Yeah.
But I understand in the European editions, I rated about 218.
There you go. Screw those Americans.
Yeah.
Do you think there's, in especially, I'll just narrow it down to this area. Do you think there is too much of a, what's the word I'm looking for, Dean? There's too many companies. Do you think it would be better?
Oversaturation.
That's it. Playing right now.
If it's oversaturated, like Dean's Depends, it's really a bad thing. But,
oh, come on.
Oh, I got to get one shot in. You're lucky I only took one so far. But,
yeah, true.
But you, yes, I haven't even touched your hair yet. But neither have you, I'm sure. However, but listen, but you knew this was coming, Dean.
I did.
Yeah, you got the apology in advance, I'm sure. but the oversaturation will play itself out, because if you're not putting on a top-notch show, if you're not telling the story month in and month out, you will not, your friends and family will only be able to support you for so long before they've been to one, they've been to them all. I can honestly say that it has been, each show has had its own moments. Not everybody's doing all the high-flying stuff, because God knows, you'll be lucky if I jump off the bottom rope, okay? So I assure you, I've got the Matt game covered. But the oversaturation will work its way out over time. The people will decide who will be the winners, who will be the losers, and they will have to probably shut down or back off on how many shows they have. But
well,
competition is good.
What do you think is the most important thing when you're building a company? What's the most important thing? Because, like you said, you can have a Ring of Honor style show, but if there's not a story to go behind it, people are going to lose interest. What's the most important thing to develop an independent show?
I don't know if there's any one thing, but I do know that if you are not accessible to the fans, then they won't be accessible for you. They have got to know that they are part of it, that they are important. It all starts with the fans. Like when we have our on Saturday, when we had some new people come in there, it was their first time, we get them into the ring so they can get their picture taken, because you can't do that anywhere else. No one else is doing that. It's like you can't go near the ring, you can't do this, you can't do that. I didn't get the memo, so you can, okay? That's how it is.
Okay, so as you look a little bit further, I don't know how many more years you have on the bump card, as they call it. You probably don't believe in the bump card, but when your career is said and done, what are you looking to do? Are you looking to still be an agent in the back, kind of like Gorilla Monsoon, how he kind of went into that role? Or are you, what do you want to do when you're done your active career?
It's just like my match. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing in the ring, and I don't know what I'm going to do Saturday, and I don't know what I'm going to do when it's time to hang it up. I don't know. I will make that decision when it's time.
Well, what would you like to do?
I'd like to be a billionaire, okay? But until then, I will continue to entertain as best I can, which is what I'd like to do.
I'm just wondering, you know.
Dean, I want to suck.
I think some people, they have
you don't have to worry. Wait, did you say you want to suck? You nailed it already. You're an overachiever.
I left myself wide open for that one.
Oh, stop it, Dan, with your shenanigans. No, but no, I'm just saying, I mean, you've had to think about it, you know, even in passing. I mean, is an agent type of role something you want to do? Because you said earlier, where the question's coming from, earlier in the interview, you said one of the things you can do is give back, like you were watching that video with that person, that sort of thing. That's what I mean.
But that's what I think my heart would be with training and developing of the next generation, letting them know that it's not about flying off and doing all the super-duper stuff. It's about your faith. I told the young man, you need to spend time in front of a mirror. I mean, I know he'll never look as handsome as I am, but he can try to look better. You look like, you know, if you're yelling, you got to make sure that your mouth is loud, that you're looking at the people. And, you know, and the people that can't hear you, if they see you screaming, they'll know. They'll see your mouth wide open. They'll know that you're probably screaming. You've got to be able to reach the people at the back as well as the front. And your body language will do that more than your mouth.
So when you were training, there was much more emphasis on that part than, I don't want to say the wrestling, because you're obviously a well-respected wrestler as well, but there was more emphasis for that? Or was that just you because of that connection you made so long ago when you were a child watching the match? That got you into this.
Of it was instilled by Heidi Lee Morgan and her father. They talked about my face, making sure that the people can see your face. If you're hurting and the people and you're looking down at the mats, no one's going to see how much pain's on your face. Let them know. Let them feel the pain because they will support you. And of course, when I was bad, when I saw the pain, I seemed to laugh an awful lot.
So as an aspiring wrestler, if there's somebody there, like, you know, they're 18, 19 years old, or they might even be older, like 30, 32, whatever, one of the more important things would be to work on the body language, work on the visualization part of wrestling, rather than learning how to do 50 super kicks.
That is correct. Like, just for the record, Little Mikey took a super kick that rivaled Shawn Michaels 2 months ago, just so you know.
Oh, from you?
But of course, yes, I stretched for 3 weeks before and after that, I assure you.
Just to get the super kick.
But yes, it's not about, you've got to be solid in the ring, but you've got to be able to tell. The fans have got to know that you need them. You just can't be passing on the mat and hoping. You have to look at them. You almost have to have a look of pleading. Come on, let's go. Get behind me, and they will follow.
No, okay. I get you. I get what you're saying. So what would your advice be, then, to somebody? Work in front of the mirror, or what?
It's everything. Be open. Work in front of the mirror. Make sure your face is telling the story, but be open to criticism, because without criticism, you will not succeed.
That's
you know,
true.
You make it's a criticism. If you think it's being nasty, you make it what you believe. I've always made it constructive. I've taken the criticism, I've learned from it, and I've made what I've done better. And I'm still learning. I'm not afraid to admit it. It is not done.
Okay. Well, because they do say if you're done learning, you might as well just hang up the boots. So, obviously,
well,
you're not done learning.
Well, you'll be on broadcasting forever, I assure you.
You're such a jerk.
That's probably true.
You're such a jerk.
You're a jerk, all a lie. I always bring you on, and you insult me half the time.
It's not my fault. I feel like the fans on the other listening to this are demanding it.
Yeah, that could very well be true. Yeah, you're probably not too far off on that. Yeah.
That's what I was reading, uh-huh.
Oh, you were reading something. What were you reading?
Hey, you shut your mouth and don't worry about what I read.
Why did you bring it up, then? Oh, my God. Oh,
I was talking to him behind your back.
I kind of figured. Now, Olala,
yes.
I'm trying to bring it back on track here. I'm trying
Good
to...
luck.
I can't do it tonight. Dan, ask him something, please.
I don't know.
Come on, Dan. You're a professional. Prove it right now.
Prove it right now?
Okay. All right, Dean. How long have you been in broadcasting? How long have you been doing your Hell in a Cell?
Well, Hell in a Cell has been a year and a half. Before that, there was another podcast I was a part of for 3 years. On and off. More
okay.
off than on.
So you have learned a lot from the last podcast to this one. Who was your first guest in Hell in a Cell?
The first guest in Hell in a Cell was actually Fusion DS. That's Matt Saigon and Damian Dragon.
They were the first? That's awesome. Does anybody know that?
They do, yeah.
All right. How did they feel about being the first? They must have been excited, just as I am, even after the 8th interruption. You know, I thought I was going to have to do something.
Yes, a 9th overall. 9th overall appearance, because we had you on before the interruption.
I'll tell you this. We had on that other crappy podcast that we're not part of yet, anymore. We had Papadon on, and after 10 minutes, the original douchebag host tried to cut him off. And let's just say that he was on the phone for another half hour.
A half hour? You got off that easy?
Well, I mean, you know, I was praying that that was only that much.
Yeah, but yeah. I bet you Papadon kept you. He kept you focused. He kept you on point.
Yeah. He did. He did. On
the
point.
The simple point
like
was
that.
You talked about Papadon, and I understand the point.
You know, I do have another
question.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Well, finish your point. I don't know if you'll...
I think he had a point, French.
He's feeling
good. I don't have a point like your head does, that's for sure.
Oh, come on. Which one? I don't even know which one he was insulting.
It doesn't matter who I was. It's as you fit.
We both have bad hair, glasses. Only one of us is fat. What's the difference, Dean?
True. Very true. Now, Olala, I know you're an ECWA fixture. If another company ever reached out to you, would you be willing to go to another company and apply your trade in another ring, in another area, in another place?
Well, I have already, because about 3 or 4 months ago, Kokoa asked me to go up to the Bethlehem to do a benefit for the Boys and Girls Club, and where I wrestled as a tag team, me and Monsieur Cole Calloway against Pretty Ugly.
Oh,
they remember. They were
I listened
good too.
What no, they weren't pretty good. They wear a toilet seat. Come on, have some integrity, Olala.
That's kind of funny coming from you, but okay, I will. All right, but I am open, of course. I mean, I will not deny the people the opportunity for me to perform in front of them and for them to witness what I am able to give them.
Which is greatness. That's what you're getting at.
My goal every night is to be the match where nobody wants to get up and go get a drink, go anywhere. They want to sit and watch because they don't know what's going to happen.
Well, that's true. You normally, unless things are booked differently now, I'm not sure, but you were normally the guy that got people back from intermission. That was your match. You were the guy that got everybody back. Got them excited for the second half of the show, the main events, if you will.
Listen, I'll say this. When I brought my fiance and her friend Jen to the two ECWA shows.
You know
shows,
she keeps calling.
Go ahead. Well, just keep not answering the phone, please. Thank you. When I brought them to the two shows, they didn't know who these guys were. But other than talking about Keiko's butt, they were talking about Mr. Ulala.
But there you have it. And I put the B in back, just so you know. But that is my job. That is what I want people to remember. He couldn't. He tried to slide into the ring, and he promptly came out to the other side. Who does that? Oh, Ulala does. You know, he went to get up on the second rope, and he slipped and hit his shin. Who does that? Oh, Ulala does.
Well,
and the damn steps.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I bet you there'll be steps. At my funeral, there'll be steps, and I still won't get on them.
The cat's just going to fall right in the ground. You're going to roll out.
That is, it will, I'm sure.
Oh, my God!
That's terrible. That's just terrible. So, yeah. Ooh La La, as we close out yet another exciting edition of The French Interruption, what do you have to tell these people? Why do you keep doing it? I know you've said it a little bit here and there, but why do you keep doing it? Why are you still out there performing for all these people?
I feel like I still have something to offer. I am relevant still. The moment I'm not relevant is when I stop doing what I do, and that's when I teach what I know. And I hope I am teaching now every match I have to some of the other people that this is part of what you do. It's not about the moonsaults off the top rope. It's not about the double corkscrew and it's going to hurt if you land wrong. Bumps off the top ropes. It's about the total package. From the moment you get to the arena to the moment you go to bed, you are who you are into that ring.
Okay, so, Ooh La La, where can people find you and follow your amazing career?
Well, I'm sure there's a link on your Facebook page right to me. And if you get to my page, or the ECWA Facebook page, you will find that we have a 46th anniversary video put up for the as many pictures as we could try to find. This young gentleman, Lucky Marvel, he put this video together. It is phenomenal. It shows the support of the fans. It shows some of the legacy. And as far back as I could go, back to the Russian invaders, back to the Iron Man, back to, Rockin' Ronnie, I mean, Boogie Woogie Brown. I went back as far as I believe it was 1992. The Commando was in there. The Animal was in there. Not George Steele, but the Animal, who later became the Persian Prince. Of course, there's Danny Inferno, Ace Darling, Devin Storm. I mean, it is a top-notch organization, and if you watch the video, just have fun.
I've seen it. I love it. Ooh La La. It's been a pleasure.
But, of course, it's always a pleasure with Ooh La La! I'll be back to interrupt.
It's going to be a big interruption, and it's going to be French.
Oh, the French interruption. Now we're talking, huh? Ooh La La!
You know, I feel a little bad because I cut off the fact I interrupted him when he said he'll be back to interrupt us again.
Well, that's okay. He'll make it up to us. I mean, he'll talk about your bad hair and me being fat. Cool.
It's called irony and karma. Wrapped up in a nice little...
Like a little radio segment bow for you.
Exactly. And here's... Yeah, that was the right file that I was talking about. This is what Robert Knight had to say on his new show, Hoff Talk, available at blogtalkradio.com/Hoff Talk.
Hoff Talk.
I want to thank my good friend Double D, Dean Dixon, for that awesome new intro for Hoff Talk. And for all my listeners out there who are wrestling fans, Double D, along with Dan Law, are the hosts of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio, which airs on Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. So you can check them out at blogtalkradio.com/Hell in a Cell. If you're a wrestling fan, it is the greatest podcast going today.
So the endorsement from the Knight Rider, Robert.
That's
Knight.
Almost as good as getting it from the Hoff himself.
I didn't hear anything about MMA.
What the hell is MMA?
It's good thing you guys are here. That's all I got to say.
You know what? I think we should pull... we should get Ooh La La on and then just not do anything and see what Chris does. Hey, how you doing, Mr. Ooh La La?
Oh, you mean just...
What the hell is going on?
You mean just Chris and
Just Christian Malala.
Who the hell is this guy?
I have a new segment for HIAC, an awkward wrestling interview with Omega Squad. Just 30 seconds of... Ladies and gentlemen, Damian Dragon.
We know what'll happen. It's not good.
Yeah, we just play the we just play the Blanchard clip.
Play that on repeat for half an
hour. Listen, I don't have a lot I could build against you, but that's funny. That's funny.
Oh, there's plenty to build against me, Dan. Let's face it.
All those murders back in the 70s.
Yes, those. When I was six. I'm sorry.
It's all right. You never know.
Oh, you guys. I'll tell you. I'll tell you.
But, are you okay now, Dino?
I was fine. I'm always fine. I'm always ready.
Oh.
I'm always ready. I love this. I love this.
I love it now.
Oh, I always love it, Dan. But not as much as you, Dan. The above-average comedian, Dan the Man Colachico.
Yo! What's going on, folks? You can follow me at DanLaw83.
Dan.
I'm just saying, when you least expect it.
Come on, Dan.
That's all I got to say. 2 weeks, baby.
Come on.
Nah, okay. It's fine.
Living La Vida Loca.
It's a good song, though.
You know what? I think we should, for Trima, I'm going to have Omega intro it. What do you think?
Ladies and gentlemen, he's got a lot of scars. He must get hit a lot.
Ladies and gentlemen, the man who hit Dan with a chair.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life, he hit Dan with a chair, Matt Tremont.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I think that's what we're going to do later on. But, Omega, before we do that.
It's not nice. It really isn't. Even I have a line to draw. That's just not nice.
Before we get to that. Are you ready, Omega?
I am ready.
Now, Omega, this fight night that happened last week happened to end a string of three events for UFC in a week. So, finally it's over. And now we can kind of...
And we can look forward to Arlovski versus Mike Kyle.
Oh, is that this weekend?
This weekend. Woohoo! Oh,
good. I feel bad for Bill.
Yeah.
Of course, last week. I hope he draws the main event. Wouldn't that be awesome? We can say, hey, he was in the main event.
I think he's doing the October one, isn't he?
Oh, No, I think he's doing this one.
I could be wrong.
Wait, where's this one held coming up? Is it Atlantic City? If it's Atlantic City, it's most likely him.
I'd have to look. I don't have it up on
my... Yeah, me neither. I got more important things. I got fight night because, I'll tell you what, it was another Brazil card. And, well, anything for the preliminaries that you want to... talk about?
Not really. I mean, the only thing of note, I mean, the fights themselves were kind of blah affairs, I thought. I mean, the one thing was Lucas Martins choking out Ramiro Hernandez, literally put him to sleep. Hernandez did not tap, went unconscious. The ref had to do the whole wrestling thing where he picks up the arm and the arm didn't.
Did he do it three times?
No, he didn't do it three times.
Okay.
Just the one time, but it was enough. But other than that, I mean, the UFC usually fills out these Brazil cards with local fighters, nothing really much to talk about.
Okay, so how about the main card? The top three fights I thought were fairly important, except for the main event, because that was a foregone conclusion. Even though Bader did have Teixeira in trouble early on, but anything you want to talk about before we move to the last three? Because last three I thought were fairly exciting.
I think the first fight, Ali Baganadov versus Marcos Vinicius, was kind of a boring counterpunching fight up until the point which Baganadov knocked out Vinicius with a right hand, but they were just counterpunching. It wasn't a terribly exciting fight up to that point. Really, just kind of an even fight. Didn't kind of went back and forth, but it wasn't a lot of action. Rafael Natal looked really good on top, just showing a really great top position control against Tor Trenig. This was a really, really good ground fight if you are interested in that kind of thing. I mean, for the people who are MMA fans that are watching for striking, you didn't get much of that except for a couple of times where in the second round, Natal cracked Trenig with a right hand, but he didn't put him out from there. This was really just a grind out grappling battle, which was very technical. Both guys were showing great resilience, great technical skills, really a chess match up until the point where Natal ends up on top and basically was pounding on Trang for at the end of round three, gets the unanimous decision victory, which I thought was well deserved. But it was a good, like I said, good technical ground battle. And then Fyodor Hallman actually came back with a great comeback. He lost that first round against Francisco Trinaldo pretty badly. Was some really devastating body kicks from Trinaldo. Put him down a couple times, really hurt him. Before the second round, Hallman worked for a Kimura and manages to land it after Trinaldo basically gasses. So, the first three weren't, terribly important fights, but I think there was some stuff to talk about in those last two I talked about.
Okay, now Benavidez, of course, did defeat from just say it for me. It's not that type of day.
Juicier Formiga.
Thank you.
Or actually, De Silva. Formiga is just his nickname, but they all call him Formiga.
But he won a TKO with a knee to the body and punches. It looked like Benavidez was really on in this fight.
Yeah, I think Benavidez was a much faster fighter here. Formiga has not looked good in the UFC. This is a guy who was formerly ranked number one in the world at flyweight. Has come into the UFC when gone 1-2. Benavidez looked like the faster fighter. Formiga managed to land some strikes, but I think Benavidez really kind of shrugged him off. It was really just until Benavidez started landing the harder punches, and it was just a matter of time. Eventually, Benavidez lands one that wobbles Formiga, and then Benavidez follows up with a body, knee to the body and right hand, and Formiga's down, and Benavidez just pounced on him and just landed a bunch of punches until Mari Yamasaki had to stop the fight. Another strong showing from a Team Alpha Male fighter. I think that I said last week, I think they're 17-0 since Dwayne Bang and Ludwig came into their gym and really took over as striking coach. They're looking really good, all these guys. But Benavidez, I think, has certainly punched his ticket to a rematch with Demetrius Johnson.
Okay, yeah. And I'm looking here. Yeah, the fight that I felt was personally my favorite fight, simply because of the hate I have for Okami, was Souza. Jacare taking care of Okami, just going in there, very aggressive. Okami didn't look like... I mean, Okami's known for his judo. I mean, we'll admit that.
Yep, yep.
Looked completely off his game. And Jacare, this guy's stand-up is so much better these days. He is going to be a force in middleweight.
He looked ridiculously strong, ridiculously crisp. This is a guy who's known for being a submission guy and a grappler. Has really, really improved the stand-up. And he's such a built guy. You look at those punches, every one of those punches is thrown with ill intent. And it was, you know, early on, I thought he was out early on in the fight when he kind of nailed Okami back up against the fence and just started landing punch after punch, left hand. I think the ref was very close to calling the fight at that point, but Okami managed to survive for a while. But yeah, it was just a matter of time before Jacare landed yet another punch and put Okami out. Looked really, really good. Yeah, as you mentioned, he is a force to be reckoned with at middleweight.
I think it's a matter of time before he finally gets a title shot in UFC, and it's going to be amazing. Whoever comes out of December, 27th, the rematch between Silva and Weidman. So,
well, I read today that he won't fight Silva because they're teammates.
It with these guys and teammates?
Yeah, I don't get it either. But what he said was if Silva wins, he will go up and try to get Jones.
Really?
That's 205. So
how much is he cutting? How much is he cutting as far as weight?
He's pretty bulky. I imagine 205 is not a stretch.
Yeah, you know what? I he's probably walking around at 220.
I imagine. I mean, so, I don't know. He doesn't look shriveled at 185, but
I know.
I don't think. I think he could fight 205 and be competitive. I think he's gonna. I don't think he's gonna be terribly undersized at 205.
Not at all. He's just strong, and he has the grappling. I mean, this is a guy we talked about it before. This is a guy that's won grappling championships, jiu-jitsu tournaments. This guy is amazing on the. I mean, John Jones. I don't think he can match up strength.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I don't think strength wise he would match up with Jacare. I think, you know, the length is going to be an issue John Jones' length is an issue for everybody.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's really why he's champion at this point, quite frankly.
Yeah. Well, I think he's got skills. Don't get me wrong, but he is one of those fighters that has learned to use his length to great effect.
Well, what are we talking about? Because Gustafsson is going to win when in a couple weeks here.
You think Gustafsson's going to win?
No. I don't know. It's too early to tell for me. I just want somebody to shut John Jones up. And I was really hoping it was going to be Dan Henderson, of course, way back. Yes, I got in the Dan Henderson reference today. But I was hoping it was going to be Henderson, but it's not. So I don't know what's going to happen with Henderson. You know, I'm worried about the fight with Evans. I'm worried.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Henderson can take Evans. Honestly, because I don't think Evans has looked good in a while.
Well, he hasn't, but Evans is saying that he's re-energized to take on Henderson. So that came out this week. Of course, Alistair Overeem came out and he said if he doesn't win his next fight against Mir, which has been announced in the past week, if he doesn't win that fight, then he's better. He has to find something else to do.
So yeah.
Overeem is even commenting on that. The fact that this is a very important, and Mir, I'm sure, feels the same way because this would be what, his fifth loss in a row.
I'm not sure, but I think it's up there. Certainly, he hasn't looked good in a while. So,
debatable or not, what happened with Josh Barnett? That's debatable whether it was an early stoppage or not. But what
really isn't in question is that Barnett probably would have won that fight. So,
it's probably.
Yeah,
as much as I hate to agree with you on a consistent basis, and then the main event, of course, of the fight night, Glover Teixeira, and I said it, Teixeira defeated Ryan Bader, TKO punches in the 255, and Bader did have him rocked, but it's MMA, and seconds later, done.
Yeah, I think Bader had him at a disadvantage. I'm not sure he had him rocked per se, but all it took was that one left hand from Teixeira.
See, I'm waiting for Teixeira to take on John Jones. That's what I want. That's what I want to see. That's what I'm going to say.
I think he's going to get a shot. Certainly, he's decked up as the next contender for whoever wins between Jones and Gustafsson. He didn't look terribly great this fight, though. I thought he looked tough. I mean, he looked strong. He certainly went toe to toe with a Division 1A wrestler, All-American wrestler, in Ryan Bader, and basically pushed him around for a while. Bader had his moments, landed a couple of right hands and managed to wobble him, so we know it sure is at least susceptible to a punch. So we'll see. But, I mean, I think I don't think he had a good showing, really. Tashira, I mean, and you know, it's hard to say. Maybe he just had an off night. Maybe Bader got lucky. Maybe he took Bader too lightly. But I do think Tashira is good. Certainly, he's 21-2. He's racked up like 20 wins in the last 5 years.
Let's 4-0 in the UFC. Let's actually 5-0 in UFC. If you take a look at, and he's defeated. At the time, it was Jackson. We didn't know which way Quentin Jackson was going. This is, of course, Bellator's savior. So
yeah.
He beat Tahuna, and now he beat Bader. Before that, Kingsbury. Maldonado was another one. I mean, they're not pushovers, per se, in the division. So I really think that he deserves something. I mean, and who does John Jones have after this? He's, what, rated number 3 right now for the lightweights? You have Josh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have Jones, Gustafsson, and
Tashira. I mean, that's really what it is. I think you're right. No, I think he deserves a shot. I mean, he comes in and basically busts people up since he's come into the UFC. I think he's got the talent. He's got the skills to at least earn a shot. Whether or not he can beat Jones is questionable. But as you said, there's other guys who else is left? I mean, if you look at that light heavyweight division, Machida just lost. So, and then I don't want Phil Davis to fight him. So,
yeah, he was ranked up there. He's like number 4 or something. It's nuts.
Phil Davis is 3. Glover's 3. Yeah. So, I mean, you're looking right now in the rankings, Gustafsson, Tashira, Phil Davis. I mean,
why is Davis rated that highly? Honestly, come on now.
He keeps winning. That's really all he's like.
Just stop
it. I don't see it. I don't think he's better than Lyoto Machida. But he beats Lyoto Machida, so that's why he's ranked ahead of Lyoto Machida.
It's terrible. It's terrible. I gotta get on that media panel. They would just get my rankings and go, what is this all about? Why is Dan Henderson number 1 for every weight class? I don't understand it. We're going to have to get HIAC Talk Radio off of the media rankings. But now to talk about something a little more serious, there was an accident it happened in the past week, right?
I believe it happens either Saturday or Sunday night.
Yeah, go into it.
Well, Matt Grice was stopped at a red light, and he basically got rear-ended. It's questionable whether or not he had his seatbelt on, but basically he got rear-ended, ran into the back of a car in front of him, and he is in critical condition right now in a hospital in Oklahoma. My understanding is he's been sedated. He's not in a medically induced coma, but he's under sedation, and they don't know the extent of his injuries yet.
Okay, so when you say rear-ended, I mean slammed into, because originally when I heard rear-ended, like a fender bender kind of thing.
Well, yeah, this is a serious, serious a deal. I mean, he is in the intensive care unit. That's why I say we don't know if he had his seatbelt on or not. Jeez. You would assume he didn't get that kind of serious injuries, but I mean,
his wife did say that he was wearing a seatbelt at the time. This is coming from MMAfighting.com.
I heard that too. So, I mean, we'll just have to wait and see. But he, I mean, this is a guy that came off of a potential fight of the night performance a few months ago. Unfortunate injury, unfortunate accident. We hope, certainly, I think. You guys would join me in hoping for the best for him, that he comes back and recovers, and hopefully he can fight again.
It looks, definitely. But it looks like I'm just trying to scan here. There's going to be a show at the Thunderbird Casino in Norman, Oklahoma, which will be a fundraiser for Grice and his wife, Carolyn. And he was scheduled, as you were saying, for UFC 166. Obviously, that's off the table at this point. He was going to take on Jeremy Larson. He does have a 15-5 record in MMA. And he's not, it was earlier reported that he was in a medically induced coma. He's just being sedated right now, but he is still far from the waters. He's stable, but still critical.
Yeah.
The best way I can understand it.
Yeah, but his fight, like I said, is his fight at UFC 157 with Dennis Bermudez was a great fight. I think pretty sure we talked about it on back then. You know, unfortunate. Unfortunate.
Yeah, that was UFC 157 where that happened. And, yeah, so definitely there. And not to bring things down, but even more, but what else was there I was going to talk about? The Ultimate Fighter started. That happened last week.
Yeah, it did. Did you watch any of it?
I did. I saw up probably the first hour and a half. The biggest thing that I noticed, there was that one, the pioneer of MMA. She was actually in Strikeforce. She's been in a few promotions in Japan. I forget her name, though.
You're either talking about Tanya Evinger or Tara LaRosa, one or the other.
I think it was Tanya, kind of like a nerd chick, but she's an awesome fighter. She won, she's in the house.
So the nerd chick, you're talking about probably Roxanne Modafferi.
Yes.
You see her in Strikeforce, yes. She is in the house.
She is in the house, and my favorite pick so far that I've seen for the women on the show. She just has that connection, I think, with the audience, if you will.
I do hope that she sticks around and wins a couple fights because, yeah, I think she could be, selfishly as a nerd, kind of like the person that can say, look, you know, be that nerd liaison for MMA. She is Roxanne Modafferi. For those that don't know, she is a female fighter, obviously. But she lives in Japan, teaches English, has done that for like 8 years. And as we said, she has fought. She fought Sarah Kaufman for the Strikeforce title, was unsuccessful in that endeavor. She actually was the recipient, I believe it was Roxanne, of the slam that you always see in Sarah Kaufman highlights, where Sarah Kaufman just picked her up and just slammed her around, power bombed her basically. But, yeah, she's had a rough go of it recently and lost her last five fights, but she looked really good and fought her way convincingly into the house.
I thought, seeing the way that they edited the episode, I thought that they were trying to have a female GSP as her opponent, this big, tall, lanky wrestler, obviously from – I'm not sure if she was from Montreal, but she had a French-Canadian accent.
She was Valerie Letourneau. We've seen her fight before, too.
But thank goodness the nerd chick got in there, and I was happy about that. So, anything else happen on the episode that we should look forward to? There were a few moments where, obviously, when Tate walked in, it wasn't even known. Rousey didn't know that Zagano was replaced. So, saw a little bit there. She went and got her manager, and there were some things going on there.
Yeah, the one thing I saw, I'm not sure how this is going to translate for the rest of the series, but Ronda Rousey came off as kind of a petulant little child. I thought
she did in that particular exchange I'm talking about. She certainly did. She couldn't even like, I don't want to use the term because it's so sexist, but she didn't even man up and like handle it on her own.
Yeah,
she had to go get her manager and had
she
to
didn't grow up.
Yeah, but she, had to get her manager. It was just odd.
But even in the interview, she seemed kind of pouty. She didn't seem very engaged. Didn't seem like she wants to be there. While I think Miesha Tate really came off as intelligent, wanting to be there, engaged in the fights.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like I said, I don't want to say it could just be editing.
It's funny though because they were talking about how engaged they both were and how. It was Dana. Dana was given a voiceover, and he's like, both of these women, they're so – I've never seen the coaches. They're so engaged. And right as he's saying that, there's a shot over the table. And you see Tate, she has, like, different notes written out. But you look at Rousey's notepad, and it was just like doodles of a house with like a sun up in the corner. It was crazy. It was so funny to me. I'm like, yeah, they're really engaged, Ada.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
they're engaged in their artistry.
Yeah. No, I think I haven't watched the Tough in a while. I haven't watched the last few seasons at all. But I kind of like, it looked like a more professional presentation.
Oh yeah,
like the cameras and stuff like that was better than I'd seen before. I mean, granted, this is still the fight in episode, so we'll see what the hijinks in the house come along, what kind of how that comes across, especially with women and men being in the same house. God only knows what's going to happen. But I thought there was. It was, yeah, hopefully they don't show everything, but
hey.
Anyway, it is cable. You never know.
Hey, what you doing down there?
Yeah. But, you know, I thought some of the women really showed some promising fights. Obviously, Shayna Baszler is probably the one to beat coming out of this episode. Of course, she is a top 10 fighter, so she is only expected to be up there. But there's other names like Jessamyn Duke and obviously Roxanne and Raquel Pennington, who are name fighters who should, which probably for the women is probably the highest quality we can probably expect reasonably, much better quality of opponent relatively than the men. But I think there's some interesting guys there who may come along and make some noise in 135, which is, you know, still building really in the UFC.
You know what? We are going to interview right before the next Legacy fights, Ryan Hollis. Of course, we had him on before.
Yeah.
We're going to have him back again. He was actually there. The UFC Ultimate Insider had some clips of him when he was told that he was not picked. He was not one of the ones that were called to even go to the, you know, the 32 that eventually get weaseled out. So I want to ask him about that experience, quite frankly. I think he did actually talk. Who's the matchmaker of UFC?
Sean Shelby?
No.
That's Strikeforce.
Is it Silva? Or
Joe Silva, yes.
I'm
blanking on that for some reason, but yes, Joe Silva.
Yeah, I believe he talked with Joe Silva, and Silva said, look, there's just, you know, so many guys here, but, you know, get some more wins, you know, have some more fights, and he will be. It was originally the co-main event of Legacy, I believe it's 23, but it's no longer the co-main event. They've added some. He's moved down the card, but he's still on the main card. He will be televised, so we'll be able to talk to him coming up. And I was looking it up, and I forget.
Wasn't he pushed down for the women's fight with Holly Holm?
Yeah,
who is notable as the only person to have defeated Chris Cyborg.
Oh. Well, there you are. So, I mean, there's so much. That Legacy card that he's on, we're going to have him on October 9th, and Legacy Fighting Championships will be on Access TV on the 11th. So that's going to be, like I said, I really want to talk to him about the experience that he had going to the tryouts. And you never know if he – because his opponent, I forget the guy's name, but he's one of those Olympic champions that are undefeated in MMA right now.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
So I forget the guy's name. We'll be more prepared, obviously, when Ryan does join us coming up in October. But you have news, Omega.
It was announced today, actually just earlier tonight, on UFC Tonight, that Tough 18, which is coming up probably early next year, will be headlined by the coaches BJ Penn.
Oh.
Versus Frankie Edgar.
Really?
For the third time. But this time it's at featherweight.
Really?
Yeah.
BJ is going to get down to featherweight?
That's what I said.
We're talking about a guy who had enough trouble at 155. He's going to try to... What's featherweight? 145?
145.
Oh, my God.
That's where Frankie's fighting now, so...
This guy's walking around at least welterweight.
Yeah, well, this is a guy that's fought at 170, 155. He's fought at catchweight. I think I think he fought middleweight at one time.
I thought he retired.
He did, effectively. But he's coming. He's coming back. He's going to coach the Ultimate Fighter. That was announced today. I'm like, okay, I guess. I think I would have rather seen Faber and Edgar or something like that. But
Faber and Edgar, I could go for that. BJ Penn, that's just very odd to me.
I agree.
Very odd. That is news though. But you know what? You know what they always say.
What do they always say, Dean?
When you're trying to fill time, play the Mystery Men.
Well, that sounds like a brilliant idea.
So, without further ado, this is, without a doubt, Bill Olson's favorite part of the show. It's time for the Mystery Men. And you know what? Go back to the oldie but a goodie. Keep My Heat On by the Mystery Men. And we'll be right back on the other side. That was the Mystery Men with Keep My Heat On.
Heat On!
And I'll tell you what, they're going to have a CD party, and I am trying to find a way to get there. Gosh dang it. Need wheels. Need wheels again. Now, that's going to be live at the Brighton Bar in Long Branch, New Jersey. That is September 22nd, and I have to say that that is, of course, during the same weekend as the Hell in a Cell Talk Radio get-together. It's amazing how the planets are aligning for all these wonderful things.
It really is like you could not have prayed and gotten a better response from the Lord himself.
And so, I mean, this is happening Sunday afternoon. It's an all-ages show. $12. The doors open at noon. It's a CD release party, and my goodness,
what's the name of that album there, Dino?
My goodness, what is it? I don't know. I don't.
I have no idea. Like, I've looked at the like 15 times. Like, I don't know the name.
Musica in Mascarada. I think Music in Masks is the translation.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yes. Music in Masks, that's we'll say. We'll just translate for you here on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio as well. And I'll tell you what, El Diablo, I saw him at the last Wrestling Is Cool show. Big things are happening. I can't wait to see him again, and I hope it's that weekend. A very special time, if we can somehow get up there. If we could only find a way. So, yeah, Kickstarter. I just ran. You're such a jerk.
No, I didn't mean it like that. I didn't mean it in a jerk way. I'm serious.
But that would have to be a GoFundMe.
Okay, well, GoFundYou then.
GoFundYou.
GoFundYou.
Oh, my goodness. I'll tell you what, but that weekend is already shaping up. Of course, it starts on Friday when Omega rolls into town. He doesn't have a chance to rest because as soon as he checks into the hotel, he might want to put his feet up. He can't. It's time to go.
Ring of Honor!
It's time to go to Ring of Honor. Death before dishonor, and that's going to be the crowning of a new Ring of Honor champion. Adam Cole, Michael Elgin, there's a few others involved in that. Ciampa's actually involved in it. So.
And I will be I'll be meeting up with you gentlemen sometime after. Just so I can punch Harry in the face.
Sounds good to me. Then, Saturday, we got a huge day involved. There's no rest for the wicked, especially myself. We are going to have a commercial taping starting at 9:30 in the morning. We have some talent. I can't wait till this commercial is thrust out upon.
We might even have two. We might even have three because I just thought of another, which I'll talk to you guys offline.
Talk off air. I don't want to break my. Oh, my goodness. And then we're going to have the Hell in a Cell Talk Radio Fan Appreciation Summit Symposium with our biggest supporters. And those supporters are, of course, the birthday boy, George Burr, Kelly Burr, and I'll tell you what, the guy who puts us in the same league as that other guy, Cole Calloway.
Colt Cabana and Steve Austin.
Cole Calloway. I don't know where that came from.
Yeah,
but anyway.
I don't know.
Yeah, Cole Calloway.
That's bad.
Yeah, but anyway.
That's a distinction there, I think.
It's a Colt, whatever. But we're going to do a special episode with them. It's an hour that starts at 1:30 on Saturday. Then, we still don't have a break. Still no break.
We don't need no stinking break.
I'm going to sleep. Screw you guys.
Starting at 7 o'clock, we are going to go. And it's New Moon Rising Wrestling as they present PG-13. And I'll tell you what. There's already 10 guys announced. 2 weeks away, we like to keep surprises.
10 guys announced and not another damn thing coming. I'll tell you this, though. You never know what might happen in a New Moon Rising show.
I'll tell you this, though. I am not number 10. So.
No, I'll tell you. You're not number 10.
Or number 11 or whatever.
You're not number 12.
I can't
13,
do math. It's late.
Either.
I'm tired.
Yeah. 10 comes after 9.
10 comes after 9. I don't know who comes after what.
You know what? Matt's not allowed to call.
Then we have, my goodness, what else do we have? An after party.
Woohoo!
UFC 160-something is happening.
Are we going to the Philly Diner and overpaying to get in?
Well, the $10 is actually the...
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, the usual cost. I think they were actually $5. It was just odd that they were doing it when we only had one more fight left.
They got good mozzarella sticks.
Your life revolves around mozzarella sticks.
Yes, they do.
Deep fried foods. In some way or another.
I don't eat it down here, so I try to catch up with it up there.
You certainly do catch up with it up there.
Yes, I do.
Down here. Wherever. I don't know.
It's up there.
Yeah, it's north. But you know what? We could be upside down for all. The way the world just kind of gravitates. We could be upside down right now, Dan.
No.
It's all in perspective. The following day, if you guys haven't had enough of us, we're going to have breakfast. Now, how many podcasts will invite you out for a breakfast? A nice, nutritious start to the day. Hell in a Cell Talk Radio does. We're going to make sure you get your whole grains, your pancakes.
And just make sure you have the recorder ready for you, just to record any moments that might happen.
You never know. I hope I can have breakfast with Bill. It was an amazing time when I was with Bill and his family on the way up to Centralia. Oh, that was an amazing time. I think you heard about it last time.
As long as you don't get killed by the driver, who won't be there?
Yeah.
He better not be there, because I won't be there.
Oh, will you stop? He didn't do anything to you personally, Dan. Didn't do anything to me. He just spoke his mind a little too much, Dan. But without further ado, we have...
You look like a jerk, huh?
I don't care what people think of me. If you haven't figured that out by now, if you haven't listened to over 100 episodes of the show, I don't give a damn what people think about me. But that said, we have our next guest, and this is a guy, he doesn't give a shit either. And we're going to get right to him.
Boy.
That's right, blimey. It's the Bulldozer Matt Tremont coming up now.
My stomach ailment. If I ate a pancake, I'd probably be in the hospital for a week, so I decline.
Well, you have to come to the dinner.
Well, you could have some orange juice, maybe some scrambled eggs.
Saltines and some waters is about the only thing I can handle anymore, but I will definitely try and make it to one of those ventures after one of those glorious new moon shows one of these days.
Yeah, Dean, I made him promise he has to effing come this week because... I'd beat him up.
You're going to turn the tables on him.
Yeah, right, sure.
Now, Dan, you felt the chair shot before, my friend. What's going on, guys? How you been?
No, seriously? damn you. No, you know what? Seriously, and I think we did talk about this before, but in all seriousness, it was great. It looks great, but just whoever came up with the idea, Dan, to ask him to show you how it would feel, Dan, the first time, is an idiot, Dan.
You did ask. And then the first cut, I just didn't think it was artistically done enough, so we had to do another take.
Yeah, thank you.
Of course.
Now, Matt.
That's when I landed on my elbow.
Yes, now, Matt, I am so happy that you are joining us here. We are just mere weeks away at this point, to On Point Wrestling, coming back September 28th at the Proving Grounds. You have Jaka. Now, admittedly, I don't know much about the guy. You guys had a battle in Canada. You're bringing it to America. Nobody else could.
Yep.
What do you got to say about Jaka?
From this point, 17 days away until a young upstart company promotes his third show of the 2013 calendar year, and on September 28th, it truly is all or nothing. And myself and a gentleman named Jaka, or he's not a gentleman, he's a savage, he's a warrior, he's a beast, he's an up-and-coming guy on the independent circuit that's made his name in the Wrestling Is promotions this year, and we will tangle for the second time on September 28th, the first time at C4 in Ottawa, Canada on June 15th. It was a pleasure of mine to be able to get the chance to work and wrestle for that company in Canada, and we wound up having a good one. We had a war, we had a fight, and we're going to bring it to the United States on American soil on the 28th. It's Tremont Jaka 2. It's going to be barbaric. It's going to be savageness. It's going to be unpredictable, and it's going to be fun. And let's just say On Point's going to start hot on September 28th.
I like the sound of that. On Point, the card that On Point Wrestling has put together is one of the most amazing I have seen this year, because the talent that you guys have assembled, Scott Summers is one, Chris Dickinson another, that's the main event. You have those guys up against each other. Now, not speaking as Matt Tremont right now, the Bulldozer, just looking at that match, Summers-Dickinson, what does that one, how do you feel about that one? Even if you were just a fan sitting in the crowd, I mean, that's got to get you excited.
From my fans' perspective, Chris Dickinson is on fire this year, and just this month alone, he's going up against some of the top talent in the business. I mean, this Saturday, he's got a title match at CZW. The following week, he's got Kevin Steen at Beyond Wrestling, and then he'll cap off his September month with his biggest one out of them all, with Scott Summers at One Point Wrestling. And speaking of Scott Summers, a guy who will be returning to the Northeast on September 28th for the first time in over a year and a half. This guy came to Delaware for the Combat Zone 2 years ago, and damn right gave it his all and split his head open for the colors of black and yellow. But unfortunately, was able to return. But On Point Wrestling is going to do it on the 28th. Two guys that are on fire, two hungry guys, two raw and real talents are going to collide. Two guys of demonic intentions are going to collide on September 28th in the main event. Strong style, two workers, two athletes are going to go at it and present a product and make those fans, as we've been saying, emotionally invested in the On Point experience. And I think those two will do it and with flying colors.
Yeah, we're going to have Scott Summers on coming up on the 25th. That's the last show before On Point Wrestling. We're, of course, going to be there as well, live in the Proving Grounds for a live pre-show. So we got you covered. Just to go over the next week, we have Pinky Sanchez. He will be here. The 25th will be Scott Summers and Ryan Castellucci. And then we are going to have that pre-show.
Who?
Castellucci.
Hey!
There you go. That's
On Point Palooza.
That's right. We are just going to continue
On
that.
On Point of Palooza WrestleFest.
That's right. So getting back to you now, I hate to be a downer, but I have to ask the hard question sometimes. CZW, hasn't been your year so far. You've had some trouble. Of course, that trouble's name is Joe Gacy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm staying completely impartial here when I bring this up, but you've had your trouble with Joe Gacy.
Liar.
100%. Like you said, Dean, 2013, personally and professionally, when it comes to the Combat Zone and in and out of the ring, hasn't been my year. And I've been plagued since I came off the top of a cage in December. And since then, it's been a downfall. And like you said, his name has been Joe Gacy, and he's been a thorn in my side, and possibly management as well. But, down with the sickness is this Saturday, and I do intend on making an impact of some sorts. I will be there at the Flyer Skate Zone, because I'm the only place I will be and always will be on the second Saturday of every month is at CZW in Voorhees. So Joe Gacy, I'm going to find you, and I'm going to leave the Combat Zone faithful, something to remember, because I will get my one-on-one opportunity with Joe Gacy sooner or later.
Do you go into a match like that to a guy you fought before with...
You're talking about Jaka for On Point. I'm just...
No, I was going to bring it back to Joe Gacy.
Okay, go ahead.
That question's different. I'm sorry, Dean. I'll bring it back. Into a match with Joe Gacy. See, I'm that professionally, and we almost had it. When you go into a match with Joe Gacy, a guy you fought before, do you try to do anything different, or are you just going to go in with mad rage?
God damn it, Dan. Keep it together, will you?
It's not my fault. Dean screwed it up.
I've been going at it with Joe all year long. Since the anniversary show, we've been going at it. And, every day I'm reminded of what he did to me at WrestleCon weekend in Secaucus, New Jersey, and he left me laying in a pool of my own blood. And when a man has to think about that and wake up about that and think about that every morning, you know, it does something to his psyche. And I didn't beat him. He left me laying. And we've been in countless matches this year, six-man tags, three-ways, four-ways, every match in their mother. But quite frankly, I haven't been able to get him one-on-one since then. And right now, in order to try to salvage somewhat of a successful year of 2013, which it has been not. I need to have that match with Joe. Ultraviolent rules, and show him what Bleeding Black and Yellow is all about, because quite frankly, I've been salivating at the fingertips for a hardcore match. I don't know what I did to Joe Gacy. I don't know what I did to management this year, quite frankly, but I am dying for a hardcore match. I'm dying for an opportunity, because I was given the ball last year and never dropped it, and something happened, and I can't answer that, because I'm not in somebody else's head. But quite frankly, if I'm given the opportunity with Joe Gacy to finally get in the ring with him one-on-one, I will deliver just like I always have, and I will do that with Joe when I get him in the ring.
Now, do you find it a little frustrating? The last time you guys actually had a singles match was in April. I mean, do you find it a little frustrating that you're in six-man tags, and you're in three-ways, and you're this and that? I mean, you just want to get your hands on the guy, right?
Months and months of frustration and trials and tribulations all come to fruition soon, because quite frankly, personally and professionally, I can't take it anymore. So it has to come to an end for me to salvage somewhat of a shit year it's been for me. So Joe Gacy, Saturday night, I don't know what's going to happen. I hope Maven has insurance this month. I hope they have extra security on the staff this month, because something will go down, and I will get Joe Gacy in the match one-on-one sooner or later.
Is this something that you have to just pin him 1-2-3, or do you really want to just end it and hurt this man at this point?
At this point, it's been, like I say, left me laying in a pool of my own blood in Secaucus, New Jersey. And since then, we've been, like I said, we've been intertwined in multi-man matches since then. But no one-on-one matches, like you said, Dean, since April. At this point now, he's just beating me down, and he's beaten me on several occasions. But in those matches that he's won, he's not pinned me. It's been somebody else. But at the same time, he's still been the victor. And in this business, the W means something at the end of the day. But quite frankly, it's kind of like DJ Hyde last year. He was a thorn in my side, and he kept getting on me. And he was always one step ahead of me. But in the end, Matt Tremont was the victor. And in the end, I was the victor in Cage of Death. And I was the one giving him a Death Valley driver on top of a steel cage through three sheets of glass. So Joe Gacy's shattered dreams are going to come sooner or later.
Well, getting back to more of this frustration, you said issues with management. Everybody knows who you're talking about. What do you think you need to do? Because you had the ball, like you said, last year. What do you think you have to do to prove to this guy?
Being quite frankly, I don't know anymore. I've always been a team player. I think I've told you this in person and on here before. CZW is the place where I've always wanted to work and apply my craft and wrestle, and it was the first big promotion to give me a break for me to even make a name for myself, to even have a chance to work anywhere else. And I've always been a team player and done anything the company has always asked me for. I can't speak for anyone. Obviously, we know who's in charge, et cetera, et cetera. But I will continue to show up on the second Saturday of every month and do what Tremont is told. But after a while, something's got to give. And maybe something will give this Saturday.
No. Back to management. I mean, when there's a show that takes place in another venue, I mean, does it bother you sometimes that you're not booked at that place?
Oh,
yes. I mean, it's the hardships of the business. Sometimes you're not on every show, but yeah, I sat here one Saturday with my thumb up my ass, wishing I was out there with the rest of the dub crew, because mainly everybody was out there except for a select few. And I'm sitting at home. CZW's out there killing it in Ohio in front of the Pac Rockstar Pro Arena. And I'm, you know, but shit happens. And I will, I've looked at a lot of things that are negative this year, because quite frankly, you know, you get down things. The only thing I have in life is this business. But lately I've been looking back on it, and my one virtue I've had has always been patience in my young career and in life. So I will continue to be patient and wait for that right opportunity, because I know I've done nothing wrong. I've never dropped the ball. I always gave 110%. And, I mean, I was going to wait till Saturday, but quite frankly, if there's anybody in the last 3 years of this business that has given his body and sacrificed his body and peace of mind more than me, I don't think there is nobody, or has bled all over from state to state as much as me for this company. So, I mean, we'll see what happens.
Well, one thing that did come up earlier in the year. And we've talked about this a little bit on when we started the whole On Point Palooza. Was your health scare that came up right before the last On Point show. That was a little bit of a roadblock, and do you think that has anything to do do you think that has anything to do with the hardships that you're maybe encountering still to this day? Because the first part of the year started out okay. You know, you had Tommy Dreamer in a match with Rory, but then things kind of just fell apart for you.
Yeah. I mean, quite possibly it could have. I mean, you know, it was one of those things. But, you know, the severity of the situation has been, you know, I believe someone has told different stories about, you know, how I found out about it. You know, I never read any results. I was called by the people themselves. So for an individual in management to continue to call me stupid and to hold my hand and to continue to tell me, hey, you know, you didn't read these things right. No, I never read them. I had the people actually call me 8 o'clock in the morning 2 days before Memorial Day weekend. And when I'm walking in the store and I get those calls, then I wound up getting more tests done, and they call me again, and they give me the same results. So, no, I never actually did read results in front of me. I was called by the physician at the place, then wound up taking care of everything and wound up, you know, finding more information about it because I didn't, and I kind of panicked, and I was scared. It was a scary thing, especially with the stuff with death matches and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I wound up taking care of it. It wound up not being what it was, and it wound up being, you know, problems from the stomach. And everybody knows that story now. And quite frankly, it's kind of plagued me throughout the year. So it may have had a negative backlash towards my year, and who knows. But, I mean,
you didn't kill the doctor, did you?
No, unfortunately, no. I mean. I went... And those were clinics, too. I wound up going to a real physician and my own family doctor, which I don't have. I had to get through somebody else. I don't have health insurance. But I was able to take care of everything the best I could. And, you know, the situation worked out. And whether it's plagued me from opportunities in the Combat Zone or other companies, as far as other companies go, I've had a lot of opportunities come my way this year and work a lot of different new places, C4, AIW, Interspecies, and it just seems to be one place. But, you know, I'm going to continue to be there and show that I'm a team player and, you know, wear the black and yellow colors proudly because it's where I've always wanted to be. But like I said, something's got to give after a while. You can only be loyal.
Well, wow, that was a bit of an epilogue I wasn't expecting. Now, another new place that you've had some opportunities is, of course, New Moon Rising Wrestling. I've heard you're going to be back for the next show coming up on the 21st.
All my questions.
Now, as far as that goes, last time we saw you, you happened to stick your nose where I don't think it belonged. You got involved with the Crazy Ivan and Joe Gacy match. Now, why did you decide to do that? And who turned out the lights, damn it?
Me.
I don't know who turned out the lights, but I don't think I was away from New Moon for a few months, and New Moon has been a company that I've been able to work for this year and do business with and be able to have the opportunity to work with a veteran in Crazy Ivan, and you know, he exiled me for a few months. So I made a decision to come back at an opportune time when he didn't expect it. On the expense of your man, Dean, and I apologize with Joe Gacy, but quite frankly, I had problems with Joe Gacy at the Combat Zone, so I really didn't care. It's two guys that I have had an issue with all year long, but when it came to New Moon, I'm coming for Ivan. And I think what happened last month at the Proving Grounds is self-explanatory, and I'm there for one more match of Crazy Ivan, and I will get that as well.
Do they have anything planned for you two, or what are you coming to the Proving Grounds to do?
Well, before me and Crazy Ivan hopefully tangle within the future, I mean, September 21st, I'll be at the Proving Grounds. I don't know what's going on, but I'll be there, and I'm looking for Ivan. That's all that matters. But from what I was just told, there's a show called The Combine the week before, actually this Sunday. Is that correct?
It's this Saturday.
Sunday, Dan.
It is Sunday. Yeah, Sunday. Like I said, Sunday, Dean.
This Sunday, I'll be at the Proving Grounds as well for the Combine because there is a veteran in the sport that has locally worked around here for a long time by the name of Onslaught. I've trained with him a little bit last year, and I have a great deal of respect towards that individual. So I'm looking forward to calling out Onslaught this Sunday at the Proving Grounds at the Combine, and I'm hoping he answers my challenge if we can go at it one-on-one.
Wow, that's actually pretty big news. You want Onslaught at the Combine.
Wow.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I think I might be sick on Sunday. Might have to, might have to call out.
I think I might have to train tickets. I need to book train tickets.
Yeah, but that's big, exciting news. So you're going to be at the Combine on Sunday. You're going to be back 6 days later. We don't know what the – you're going to be talking this weekend, but let's get back to On Point.
Yes, sir.
On Point, it's coming up the 28th. It's a huge show for you guys. It's all or nothing, quite literally. As we head into On Point, as you look at your match with Jaka, as you look at everything that's on the table, what does On Point Wrestling mean coming up on the 28th?
It's two guys in an apartment in Northeast Philly that have a vision, that share a passion for the business, and don't have a House of Hardcore budget and all this big money. But we're running on pride and balls, and it's something we've wanted to do for a long time. And when you go to a lot of wrestling shows and you see the products and you see what's going on behind the scenes and the product in the ring, and you're like, we can do this, and we have. And on September 28th, it's our third try at it. And it truly is all or nothing on September 28th. You know, a lot of eggs are in the basket for this one to continue to put on a product that we feel is presentable at the table at the end of the day. And, you know, that we can keep going forward and pushing forward into 2014 with this company. And for a company that hasn't even ran its third show yet, has generated, I would say, a decent buzz. And, you know, throughout the likes, the likes on the Twitter, the hits on the web page, the followers on Twitter. At the end of the day, that's all great. But we've also hustled and put the hard work in at promoting the show, going to every show and flyer, setting up booths at fucking flea markets, for Christ's sake, to sell tickets. We've done everything we can on hand and foot. We don't have a street team at the end of the day. We don't have a team that, you know, we don't have a guy that just that sits on Twitter and tweets all day. That's me. That's me doing that. It's me, you know, putting out the flyers. You know, it's two guys, you know, heart and hustle. That's all it is, with no money. And we're able to put on a product and a presentable show at the end of the day that's hopefully catered to an audience that'll continue to keep coming back. We got Smart Mark Video coming back for this third show to tape this.
Yeah,
so
thank God.
So, and yes. So it's the little things that you need to do to make your company viable in a cutthroat competition business. And there's a lot of competition within that South Jersey area. So, and you want to separate yourself from the rest of the bunch, and you want to make an impact. And I felt like we've done that, and we've only ran two shows. We've had a lot of guys come in, and we have a lot of guys continue to still want to work here. And on September 28th, I feel like we have a 9-match card that has a little bit of everything that will sell you on everything to cater to every wrestling fan. And when you have guys like Amasis taking on Sanjay Dutt for the first time ever, that's personally for Amasis is a dream match for him, and he's been looking forward to September 28th for God knows how long now. When you're bringing a guy like Scott Summers, who's just been salivating to come back to the Northeast to continue to prove to these fans that he's worth it, and he's not just a guy in Texas down there tearing it up. When you bring in a guy like Jaka and Chris Dickinson and the Sam Shields from New York and the whole New York crew and EYFBO, Angel Ortiz, and an up-and-coming guy like Xavier Cross, and then you bring in an internationally traveled ring veteran in the Black G's to take on a young upstart named Moz Tyler, who is an undiscovered talent that has been tearing it up this year and who's one of the most humble kids I've ever met in my life. It's nine matches to emotionally invest in on September 28th, and if you don't do that, then we've done something wrong, and I promise you will get your $15 worth at All or Nothing, because it is All or Nothing, and it's a family locker room to go out there and put on a product that hopefully you will all enjoy on September 28th.
I couldn't have said it better.
No, you couldn't have.
I do have a follow-up, though. You pretty much hit the nail on the head. You said there's a lot of other companies in this area. Any given Saturday, there's at least, I don't know, three or four shows going on. Different companies, some have been around for 46 years, like UCWA. Some have just started, like New Moon. Some have been around for years, stopped, and then they start running again.
I'm trying.
What makes New Moon, what makes On Point different? Why is On Point different? Why should we emotionally invest as a fan, as someone who works there, whatever? Why should people invest in the On Point experience?
It's a company trying to break the cycle of the same mold that has been going on as of late. When you go to one company, you're going to continue to see the same thing. It is hard to try to go to a show and see different talent, because, including myself sometimes, hey, if you want to see Matt Tremont, hey, well, I don't have to go to Home Point on the 28th. I can just go see him at New Moon, or I can just go see him at CCW. And that's my problem at times, trying to just establish myself for a company in the area. It's hard to when you're helping a young company run. And then that's why we've been trying to bring in different guys, you know, that have worked. You know, Grant Akuma's working the show, hasn't been in the area in quite some time. But I believe we have a mix of guys that will give you something different. It's I used to go to CZW in the early days, and CZW was something special and it was something different. When you went to ECW, it was something different. It was something special. I believe, though young and only in our third show, I believe it's something young, something special, something different, and it has a different feeling when you go into the Proving Grounds for an On Point show. You need that unpredictability factor in your company, and it needs to be like nothing else. And we're trying to be like nobody else. We will try our hardest to continue to do so on the 28th, and I really do feel like we will do that, and we will cater to all genres of a fan's taste on the 28th, and we will do that to the best of our abilities. And I truly believe that all the companies that do run in the area, we are different. We're different in the name, and we're trying to be on point, and we will be on point.
Has it sunk in yet that show's right around the corner, all of this is going to come together, and it's almost showtime?
Yeah. I mean, the first two shows obviously were two different experiences all together. Now going into the third show, it's a more comfortability factor. You're more set in your ways. You have your schedule, what you want to do. I think this third show, we've put the most work into this one out of the three so far. And not to discredit or take anything away from the hard work going into the first two, but we realized that, you know, it is only a two-man show and we don't have a team. So putting in that hard work to make this third one as successful as possible, and to, you know, we're not just looking to run for the sake of running like every other company out there. I'm not content on drawing 50 people. That's not business. If you're drawing 50 people in 2013, close up shop. Strive to be the best. Strive to draw 300 people and pack a place and turn people away and make a profit. It is a business at the end of the day. Steve Corino says it best: entertain, be a character, and make money in this business.
Yeah.
Jeez.
You threw me for a minute. I've recovered. Yeah. You had me up against the ropes, as they say. Now, a big thing that came out this week, new news, if you will, is you have somebody making a debut, and that is Ophidian. Ophidian will be in action. He is replacing Latin Dragon. He can't make it. He is going to go up against Mascara Celestial. How do you feel about that one? Because that's a new match.
Yeah, Mascara is another one of those guys who's not working in this area. He's a young upstart luchador in the New York area, working for the BWF and other companies up in New York. And we're the guys to bring in Lucha back into the area. And Mascara is one of those up-and-coming kids just looking for an opportunity to shine. And he's going to go in there and do it. Originally scheduled Latin Dragon to continue their program. Two luchadors, young, that know each other and going at it. Unfortunately, Latin Dragon wanted to go work for C4 in Canada, so we saw fit to find the best available person for the job, and I believe Ophidian was a good replacement for Latin Dragon, and I think Ophidian the Cobra versus Mascara Celestial on 928 will be lucha, as they say. It'll be very good, very, very entertaining.
Yeah, I personally, it was already a stacked card. Of course, I've been writing some things for it, little recaps, that sort of thing. And when I saw the addition of Ophidian, I said, I didn't think it could get any better, but here it did. I don't know how you guys are doing it.
Nah, the card is amazing.
Yeah, and for some guys that in Northeast Philly apartment, it's really amazing the talent that you guys have combined.
It's networks of friendships you make with people, and we're not just bringing in people for the sake of bringing in people. People that we know are going to come in and give 100% and kind of believe in the vision and believe in the product and just go out there and kill it and get 100%. And top to bottom, I think the card is very solid, and it could go, you know, I'm blowing smoke up our ass, but I think it's a very presentable card, and it is on point. And you, like I said, you get a little bit of everything. You got your veterans, you got your young guys, you got your different styles and genres. So I think you'll definitely get your money's worth.
Okay, now that we're moving into overtime, I have somewhat of a controversial question.
Oh, boy.
You already know how I feel about the good old Monster Factory. Now, somewhere along the line from September, they had a show, I think, the first week in September. Then they decided to again run on the same day as another show. How does that make you feel?
What day?
They're running on the 28th, the same day as On Point Wrestling.
Son of a bitch!
So how does that make you feel? You know, someone like that deciding... because your show has been announced since April, at least. And then all of a sudden...
Yeah,
how do you feel?
I mean... I saw when the Monster Factory put it up the other day, but I looked at it like this. We have been promoting this All or Nothing card for over 2.5 months. Since July, we have been promoting September 28th, and there's only one show to go to on September 28th. Not knocking the Monster Factory and their product. They have their niche heart, you know, fans that are going to go there, and, you know, more power to them. I believe that, you know, them running isn't hurting us at all. And, they say competition is good, but I don't even believe it's competition. And I don't think they'll hurt us at all. And it's nothing against them because they got a lot of young, good talent there. And myself and others I checked out of Monster Show recently. You know, I went there to go see guys I grew up watching like Pitbull, Gary Wolf, and I enjoyed myself. But I don't think them running on September 28th at all hurts us at all or hurts them, whatever. You know, they're going to run when they're going to run. I'm very content with the date, and I think we're going to do very well.
Well, I think we should reschedule, Matt. That's what I think.
You don't understand. It's Larry Sharp's Monster Factory. The world-famous Sheamus graduated from Monster Factory.
No comment from Matt. Now,
sorry, Matt. I'm sorry. I hate that. The show's been scheduled for 4 months. No, we're having a show on the 28th. Get the hell out of here. We're part of each other.
Like I said, I'm not worried about them at all, and like I have no problem with anybody at the Monster Factory because you know that's one place we flyered at for you know previous shows in this upcoming show. But like I said, I don't believe them running is going to hurt us at all. We've been hustling hard. Pre-sale's good, and I believe we'll have a good walk up at the door because we've been just doing what you're supposed to do, and that's promote.
Wait, Matt. But are you telling me that they let you flyer for this show when they're going to have a show themselves?
Yeah, we flyered to the last one.
they are.
And for the first, yeah, we it's one of the places we have flyered. I mean, we've murdered Facebook and Twitter and, you know, anything social media. So if you don't see on your computer that On Point Wrestling runs on September 28th, you must have a very old computer.
They're on dial-up. Website runs on dial-up.
No, but besides that, just think of the businesses. Yeah, go ahead, go ahead and flyer your show when we're going to...
Whatever.
Anyway, Matt, I'm sorry I brought that up.
I
went off on a tangent there, but... Matt, where can people follow On Point Wrestling? Follow Matt Tremont, because you got a lot coming up. You're like this coming Sunday, you're back at New Moon. You're at the Combine. You're calling out the big guy Onslaught. Then the following week, you got CZW before that.
Yes.
God. You wrap it up for me.
Shut up. Let him talk, Dean.
I got a busy month. I got a busy month at the Proving Grounds. This Saturday, I'll be at Down with the Sickness for the Combat Zone, my home. We're at my home for the last couple of years. Following day, I'll be at the Proving Grounds. I'm looking to challenge a guy I respect very much and just would look forward to the opportunity and getting in the ring with Onslaught. Following weekend, New Moon, I'll be there looking for Ivan. And the following weekend, we'll cap off the month with All Point Wrestling, All or Nothing. And like I said, 10 million times now, and as many times as we've been on the podcast or I've written online, and it truly is All or Nothing. And hopefully, you know, people, flocks, and I want to look outside and see a line and turn away people. But, you know, it's just all wishful thinking. But, I mean, we put a lot of hard work into it, and I hope, you know, just I appreciate your guys' help as well. You know, the On Point Palooza WrestleFest, as Dan would say, and all the guys who are going to continue to come on this month and plug the show and talk about their careers as well. And we have onpointwrestling.com, onpointwrestling.webs.com, at onpointwrestling, minus the G, on Twitter. Subscribe to us on YouTube, On Point Wrestling TV. Follow me at Tremont CZW. All that hoopla bullshit at the end of the day. Social media is great promotional tool, but at the end of the day, I don't post anything personal or going to real life shit on there, but you know, continue to plug away, and I'm looking forward to all the shows this month. I'm looking forward to CZW on Saturday. It's always an interesting time at the dub, and September truly is Anarchy Rules month. It's September. ECW used to run Anarchy Rules, so it's going to be anarchy this month. I'm going to try to be as crazy as before on every show I work this month. So I don't care if it's the combine and there's students there and there's families. I'm going to go crazy. I hope Jake's got extra chairs because I'm from.
You know what? I'm staying out of the arena this time. Just start chucking chairs. Not cool.
Well, that being said, you said you don't talk about your personal life too much, but I want your opinion on one thing, and then we'll wrap this up.
Oh, Christ.
Your thoughts on the war, the conflict going on currently in Syria.
Syria. I actually maybe caught a minute of our great president's speech last night. I have no prior knowledge of any kind of politics or what's going on in this country on a day-to-day basis, but I believe... if I'm right or wrong, he wanted to take a different approach, and instead of just going and attacking and dropping bombs on people, he wanted to take it to a vote. Is that correct or no?
I have no idea. I just went the way I understood it is he went a very pinpointed strike. Omega, correct me if I'm wrong, but he went to strike them very.
Yeah, he's advocating a limited military strike, but he wants Congress to approve it.
If I had to sum it up and drop some knowledge, it seemed like Obama knows where the brother's at, and he will drop some bombs on that brother very easily and very quickly. So don't fuck with Barack Obama. But I have no knowledge. I mean, I don't, you know, soldiers are trying to come home and not go back somewhere else and fight. So, you know, leave America alone.
Well, on that note, Matt.
Oh, that's a sound bite, brother.
Is it ever? On that note, thank you so much for coming on. It's always a pleasure, and I'll see you very soon. I'm going to try to make it out on Saturday. I don't know if I can as of yet, but if not, I will see you the following Saturday, and you'll finally get to meet Omega, who clarified that Syria conflict question.
CZW on Saturday is always a good time. Down with the Sickness, tribute show for the late, great Chris Cash. So, I mean, at some point, I will see you guys this month.
Whoa.
That's right. So, Matt, until next time, we'll talk.
Take care, folks. Thank you.
On a long, lonesome highway, east of Omaha, listen to the engine. Song. Think about the woman
think next week we should just replay that interview over and over again.
We could, I suppose, Dan.
That was funny.
You know,
what do you think about Syria? Brother knows where the brother's at, and the brother will bop some bombs really quickly.
That could have been the best answer to a question we have ever had on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
I don't know. There was two in a row. The Monster Factory one and that one was pretty good. Yeah, we fired the show.
Yep.
That's very odd, you know. I don't know the marketing strategy of the Monster Factory. I don't want to know, quite frankly. But to allow another company...
to allow another company to flyer their show at your show when you're just going to run against them is mind-boggling. There you go. Finished it for you. Idiot.
My goodness.
Idiot.
My goodness.
Look at your...
My goodness.
Shape for you.
But that all being said, it all comes down to On Point Wrestling. That is coming up the 28th. And, of course, Matt's going to be around for two New Moon shows. He's going to be at the Combine, which I find that very exciting.
Oh, no, that, dude, as small a scale as some of the shows are in that building, that is a small scale show. And to see him in that element is going to be awesome.
Yeah. Up close, personal, and it's going to be, I just can't get over them. Yeah, go ahead and flyer.
No, we're
going to run the same day as you.
No problem.
No problem.
We're eventually just going to run over you. I don't care.
Oh, my goodness. Jack. But anyway, moving right along, trying to get this. A big thing also happened in the world of wrestling today. JR has officially retired, effective immediately. Dan, I know you wanted to talk about it.
I mean, how old is the guy there? He's been up there for a while, so it's just something that came as a shock. It came as a shock to me.
I wasn't too shocked. I mean, he has cut down his schedule through the years. He's 61, so it's a normal age, kind of. For wrestling, I mean, the longevity is really good up there. His debut was in 74, so he had a longer career than most could.
Yeah, really, I guess. I mean, he's had a full career, and he has nothing else to prove, really nothing else to do. Why bother?
How do you feel, Omega?
My only concern is this really his choice? Is he leaving because he wants to go, truly, or is he being somehow forced out or fired again? That's my concern. But, I mean, I hope it's just he's done, wants to do other things, wants to sell his barbecue sauce, that kind of stuff.
But I think as more time has gone on, I'm sorry, I'm getting messages and I'm distracted. But as more time has gone on, I think he's kind of gracefully gone into being more of an analyst, doing the blog thing, JRSBBQ.com, and selling. Like you were saying, I think he's just kind of, he has more options now. He still can talk to the fans. He can still get out there and be known. And frankly, I mean, that life of being on the road all the time, it takes its toll, even if you're just a commentator,
Especially, as you get older, it's just all the traveling and all the stuff you have to do. It's like, all right, enough. I'm done. And then, again, it's not like he hasn't earned it.
No, he completely deserves it. But that's what he wants to do. He's completely entitled to do it. He does nothing more to prove. He's in the conversation for greatest announcer of all time. I'm not going to go as far as say as he is, but I mean, I think he's certainly in that conversation.
To hit your point, though, I think there's really only one guy that you could say would be better than him, and that's Gordon Solie. And if he's not your cup of tea, then it's JR.
Yeah, pretty much. You nailed it. Yeah. Or, Bob Cottle.
Bob Cottle.
Whenever I think of Bob Cottle now, I think of your Bob Cottle. This is Bob Cottle.
Yeah. David Crockett. I'm not sure.
The next video we do, I want you to hold the mic like Bob Cottle did. This is Bob Cottle. Can you lift the mic, Bob?
It's always a very. I'm not sure if you know who Bob Cottle is, Omega. If it was, you'd find it as funny as us. But he kind of like it looks very awkward the way the man holds. We're going to have to put this up on the Facebook and the Twitter.
Yes.
Just find an interview. And it's very awkward how the man holds.
Like he's not really there.
Well, he's there, but he's not. It's just very disturbing to watch Bob Cottle interview someone.
This is Bob Cottle, and I'm barely holding the microphone. I'm going to interview Sting. Sting, what are you... that's going to be like a... So, interview, nobody understands a damn thing either one Pearson is saying.
Well, you're talking early Sting, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to get him, and I'm going to do this. What? That's very interesting, Sting. What? Nobody heard that? We got to do it again.
Yeah, but...
you spell his name.
Cottle? Look it up. Look it up, because offhand, I don't know. Now, wow, that was a strange thing. But finish your JR thought. I kind of cut you off there. I'm sorry, Omega.
He doesn't have anything more to prove. He doesn't need the hassle. He doesn't. I don't know if he needs the money, but I mean, I think it's. I think he, as Dan was kind of saying, is kind of not done a lot in the last few years. I think if he wants to just walk off in the sunset, I think that's good for him.
Yeah. Well. And more to the point, like you were saying, he really hasn't been on TV ever since they got – really since the SmackDown draft, right?
Yeah.
I think that killed him in a way. It killed a bit of his passion, as this business will do sometimes to you. And he was – you know, I don't think he had it in him. He would still do NXT, but they have a different commentary team now. So I don't know. I don't know. Good luck. I think he's still going to be out there. You're still going to be able to hear JR and, you know, tweet him, and he'll block people that piss him off. Like, it's always happened. So I don't think it's too much of a difference, especially the fact he hasn't been on TV in, what, 3 or 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been three or four years.
I wonder if him and Ed Ferrara ever spoke again.
I don't know. I can't answer that.
I thought it was funny.
Really?
Not what he was doing, but the lines he was using. The fake football stats was funny to me. Now, Juventud Guerrero was a linebacker at Tijuana State. That made me laugh. How he was doing it was uncalled for. I mean, beyond uncalled for. I mean, that's like making fun of Magic Johnson after he just announced he had AIDS, man. I mean... It's not cool.
Thanks for clarifying.
Well, I didn't want you to think thought that was funny. That the impression was not funny. The lines they were using were pretty good, but there was a, and you notice the next week WCW reference. The next week, he pretty much dropped the face thing, and just kind of created a satire character based on JR. But he would stop doing the, like, that first week he came out scrunching his face up. That's not cool, man. Not cool at all.
Well, Vince McMahon years later did the same thing, Dan. So,
well,
I think Jim Ross was on TV.
I know, but I'm sure he probably asked him, "Hey, you know, we have this thing. You want to do it this way?" And at that point, Jared was like,
"Do you think? You don't know the dynamic that those two have had through the years, do you?"
Well, I do, but I don't know. Dude, all the stuff that's happened in the last year, I don't know what's bullcrap and what's real. You know what I'm saying?
You're having a little trouble making...
Yes! I can't blur that line, in it, that red line at Siri across. There's no red line in wrestling.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Still real to me.
I can't find Bob Cottle, man.
So, definitely in my mind, Jim Ross is the best of all time. Now, is there pay-per-view this weekend? I think there is. Night of Champions,
yeah.
That's this weekend.
Is it crap?
Yes.
They have done a fantastic job of making this something that we need to watch. Now, Night of Champions is coming from where? Where are they? I don't even know. What's going on? Is it Orton? Well, let's speak about Raw. Did you guys see the Gold Dust Randy Orton match? Pretty good match.
It was a good match.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised, man.
People were chanting, "You still have it." I never thought he lost it, quite frankly.
I was going to say, I don't really think he's ever lost it.
Well, they actually gave him time to do something.
I mean, well, the thing is when people think of Dustin Rhodes, they always think, Goldust played that gay character, and then they never think of his ability. The guy was great. The guy is great.
Yeah. Last time I saw him wrestle was at a PWS show in December. He wrestled Sami Callihan, as a matter of fact. That was the night of the infamous Sami Callihan interview that we got.
I was going to say, was that the interview you got that night?
Yeah, the promised 20-minute interview that became a 3-minute soundbite. But that's besides the point. The point of the matter, I didn't realize he was stealing Xboxes at the time. Maybe I would have been a little,
Oh, I wanted to make that shirt and get... Oh!
Well, you still have time. Rush delivery.
I'll never get it.
Rush delivery, my friend. Uh-huh. Now, anyway, so I saw him wrestle. I mean, that was a great match against Sami Callihan. So, you know who's wrestling Goldust coming up pretty soon? I'm sure you saw the video today, Dan.
No. Oh, yes, I did.
The Greek god Papadon will be wrestling Goldust coming up soon. So hopefully Goldust does have some type of position, maybe some type of, maybe he can say, hey, this guy's good. Maybe that's what happened. That was the final hurdle for Sammy. Maybe this is the final hurdle for the Greek god.
Wouldn't it be great if all these years we find out that Goldust is the one going back, you got to sign this guy.
You never know. I mean, it just is very odd to me. This guy goes around the country and then suddenly is on TV and then back out on the circuit. I don't know. It's a little odd to me. A little, whoa, hey, watch out for that plate. But it's a little odd for me. Now, let's talk about Night of Champions. So Night of Champions kickoff is going to start out with the primetime players.
Okay, good night, folks.
Well, the primetime players, tons of fun. The Usos. Three-man band, and it's any pairing of the three-man band, versus the Real Americans, and that's Swagger and Cesaro. That's going to kick things off, and they get a title match against the Shield. So basically, the primetime players will be getting a tag team title shot later on.
I was going to say, please tell me. I just want the primetime players to just kill everybody and just move on, man.
Why? But I'd rather see Tons of Fun or the Usos.
Yeah, maybe the Usos is the only other team I care about, but I don't care about the three-man band.
Well, can we ask the question, is this politically correct? If I even bring this question up, is the only reason the primetime players are getting a push? A push is because Darren Young is...
That's a low blow, Dean.
Openly...
gay?
He's
openly gold dust.
Let me put it this way. I completely forgot about that, so you just brought it up.
Oh, how did you forget about it? Come on. You had the reporter there for TMZ just happened. Come on. It was all planned.
Well, what do you think? Well, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I'm gay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was quick.
I hope $5 Wrestling does something with Freight Train along the same lines. Go ahead.
Bring back Scott Norton while you're at it.
I'm gay. It was good. Anyway, go ahead.
It felt really precious.
Stop.
Okay.
Omega, your point.
No, I didn't have a point. I mean, further than that, I'm just don't care anymore. So, okay. I mean, I have no problem with the primetime players going over. I just don't care about the gay thing anymore. So
I think
you're getting no mileage out of it.
I think gay or not, that the primetime players is going to be on top.
No. Anyway, Randy Orton will be taking on Daniel Bryan. I don't think Bryan wins. I'm going to go for Orton with some type of interference.
Yeah, me too. Pretty much.
How about you, Omega?
Yeah, I think I'm in the same boat.
Alberto Del Rio versus Rob Van Dam. I think Rob Van Dam pulls it out. Oh,
the joint? What?
Yeah.
I know why he's laughing and it's not funny. That's not what I meant. Now go ahead, Omega.
With the joint thing.
Oh, sure you did. Go ahead.
Swear to God.
Yeah. No. I think probably Del Rio is going to keep the belt.
Well, do you think Ricardo is going to Ricardo will turn on Rob Van Dam?
Back in RVD? No, I don't think so.
I do.
Maybe. I mean, I can see it happening, but no, I don't. I'm going to go with my gut and says no.
Yeah, Ricardo was in a porn once.
And CM Punk will be taking on Curtis Axel and Paul Heyman. I'm going for Punk. Omega?
Punk by destruction.
And
Punk.
Dan? Okay.
I think they're finally going to give everybody what we've been salivating, and he's just going to destroy these guys.
Okay. The Divas match, anyone care?
Nope.
Omega?
No.
Okay.
What is the Divas match? Now I'm curious.
It's Natalya?
No, I don't care.
AJ Lee, Brie Bella, and Naomi. Exactly.
The only way I care is if Victoria comes back and destroys them all.
You never know. That could happen now. She's out of TNA.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we will be having The Shield. That's Rollins and Reigns taking on the Tag Team Turmoil winners. Obviously, the primetime players. Do you think they win the titles?
Yeah, I think they're going over. I really do think they're going over.
Yeah, it's possible, but I think they might...
Sorry. No, I'm sorry.
I think it's possible, but I think they might want to keep the Shield Triple H McMahon storyline going on. I think they might keep the belts on the Shield. Like, there might be interference, is what I'm saying.
Okay, so like the Ambrose, run in at the last second and disqualification. But, you know, that, as long as the primetime players come out looking better and everybody looks better, why not? I think you have a very good point there. So you're saying the Shield but primetime players will win, but not the titles.
Yes.
So if we were going by the old forum rules when we used to have the pay-per-view prediction tournaments, you would have to pick primetime players win by DQ.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And how many points was that? Do you remember?
I don't remember the points, and I have enough spreadsheets in my life now, so I don't want to go back and recreate it.
Do you remember how complicated some of that stuff? It started out so easy. You just pick the winner and loser. And then it became like this whole system, like a method of win. And
It was fantasy football. Pretty much. You know.
Sting with the win, flying clothesline, top rope.
Yeah, we would have method of victory.
Jesus Christ.
Method of victory, yeah.
Well, take the fun. It just sucked the life out of that.
Yeah, we had method of you. I got to see some of the because it was very competitive. Like that first year, I think I was the overall winner. The second year, I think didn't Elegy? Now that's a name from the past, but didn't he win?
Yeah.
Well,
I think so. I won.
I think
one
you were. Yeah, you were the last one because your forum signature still has the pay per view prediction.
Oh yeah.
So anyway, but that was a nice little blast from the past. But next week, what do we got, guys? I'll tell you. Did we want to talk about anything else, or have we worn out our welcome?
It's well worn out now.
Well, very
I
good.
Can't find any Bob Caudle. Somebody send me Bob Caudle.
I'll find Bob Caudle for you.
Thank you. I just want to laugh at the mic. I'm going to hold it way down here.
It is so disturbing how he holds the microphone.
Myself and Titus O'Neil have in common.
So, next week we will have Pinky Sanchez. He is the king of crazy. So we're going to talk to him. He's had matches with Addy Starr. Of course, a former guest. Addie's last match in Canada was against Pinky Sanchez. So we have a connection there. And, of course, Pinky Sanchez is part of that six-man tag team match coming up at On Point Wrestling as On Point returns on the 29th.
It's just going to be crazy.
And since New Moon Rising Wrestling likes to keep surprises, I'm not going to announce the New Moon Rising Wrestling guest we'll have next week. So, la-di-da.
So, pleh.
So,
you think you have surprises, Dean. You just wait.
Oh, whatever.
Oh, and I'm sure we'll talk about being 48 hours removed from the Hell in a Cell weekend.
Yeah.
Next week.
Oh, my God, it is next week.
Next week.
Oh, my God.
It's next week.
Yeah, it's next week. Gonna have a lot on our plate. We're gonna go over in detail exactly what's going on that weekend because it's a big weekend for everybody.
I'm excited, man. This is gonna be fun.
It will be fun.
I love you guys.
And we love you.
Thank you.
We love you, Dan. More than you could possibly imagine. I just want to hug you and squeeze your cheeks. I'm not telling you which cheeks I'm talking about.
It's okay. I'm open for both.
I would specify which cheeks, please.
No, I'm fine with that.
We have plenty of sound bites just to come out of this one show.
Now we're going to get a show.
Yeah, yeah. So, also, pretty soon, it's in the planning phases. Dan, would you like to say what's coming up on the now HIAC Talk Radio Network?
Oh, yes. We're going to have a hockey podcast coming out soon. My fiance and I will be doing a hockey podcast. It's going to be weekly. Is it going to be weekly? Yeah, heck with it. It's going to be a weekly podcast every Monday night. We are finishing out the final details, but I believe it's going to be called Obey the Puck.
I enjoy that. Obey the Puck. Coming soon.
Coming soon to the new HIAC Radio Network.
That's right. I mean, that's the second spinoff series. I can't wait for that. If I knew Robert was starting Puff Talk, he would have...
Oh, dude, I wish he would have come to us and been like...
Well, you know what? He's not paying for it yet, so why not? You know, maybe I could get him over. He said he wanted to expand it. I don't know. Maybe he wants to strike out on his own, make his own name.
I mean, that's understandable. But, yeah, man, that would have been great to have it for, you know. But, yeah.
But then you have so many kids' fingers in the cookie jar, so to say.
That's not necessarily a bad thing sometimes.
Oh,
it adds flavor to the other cookie.
No, too many. That's a terrible thing. You can't have Oreos with Nutter Butters. It just doesn't work, Dan.
Actually, it smells pretty good.
I know you would deep fry both of them, Dan. And
I don't deep fry cookies. Now you're crossing a line. Now you're crossing a line.
No, deep fried Oreos are good.
No, now
they are good. They are delicious.
Now.
They are delicious.
Now.
Look, just because the only vegetables you ever get is, you know, the deep fried broccoli.
Now, wait a minute. That's not true. I had chicken. I had baked chicken with corn and green beans tonight.
Deep fried green beans?
They were deep fried.
It's like that Simpsons episode where Mo had the family restaurant. They deep fried the whole meal, including the tray. You know?
Hate you guys.
So next week, Pinky Sanchez, a special surprise New Moon Rising Wrestling guest. It's all going to happen more quicker than you can believe. I don't even know who it's going to be. That's how secretive it is. I don't know. I'll probably just get Justin on.
Man.
Yeah.
Good. You guys can talk to each other.
Good. I like talking to Justin.
That's fine.
What the hell happened here? Jesus.
What the hell are you talking about?
I had problems with something. Now, Omega, where can the fine people find you?
Follow me on Twitter at Omega Squad.
And Dan, Mr. Giggles.
Yeah. DanLaw83.
I am the Dean of Credibility. Double D. You can find me at Folsom County. You can also find the show at HIACTalkRadio.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/HIACTalkRadio, facebook.com/HIACTalkRadio. And we're on Twitter. We're on Stitcher, iTunes, and you know what? I even have Spreaker at this point. That's right, Spreaker. I put out the Michael Kingston podcast on Spreaker, and The Best of Dan is also on Spreaker Web Radio, and that's Spreaker.com.
Made me laugh earlier.
So you have no excuses anymore.
No excuses. We're pretty much everywhere. So if you can't find us, it's like Matt said, if you can't find us, you're just not trying hard enough.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just, you know.
Just type in HIAC Talk Radio and sit back and enjoy.
Enjoy.
All right.
More
make me find you.
More Bob Caudle jokes than you can even imagine.
More Bob Caudle, and they will be coming soon. We're gonna mix it in with Larry Zbysko jokes, and then we'll be having.
What the hell? You know how many days at Comcast that got us through? But
yeah.
That's besides the point.
Every single day. They play the game of chess. You don't plug the modem in.
And he would always wave. They were mocking you, Larry. They were mocking you.
Yeah.
No one thought you were a living legend.
I'm going to stand up and I'm going to do my stupid spirit because I'm awesome.
Well,
no.
Since we're talking about Larry Zbysko, I think our outro this week is the most appropriate one.
Gentlemen, it has been a privilege playing with you tonight.